connected to CNN Network. You're connected to CNN Network.
WAW.
Currently connected to CNN Network.
That ain't good yet. Well, good morning. Where are you? I'm actually on time today. Where the hell am I? 37-ish and 53, so 28 minutes. Groovy, I think we'll be passing. I'll be passing your shop exactly when you get there. So, good for a handoff. I have to make a very brief pit stop at a pharmacy or Meijer or something because I'm an idiot and forgot to put on deodorant, but that should not delay me more than a couple minutes. Not a problem. All right, cool. Yeah, yesterday I played hooky, so I wasn't on the road for drive time. Yeah, I think it was just Joe and Anthony and I yesterday morning. And then I talked to Rick a bit on the way home and Anthony again. So I think I'm playing, not hooky, but I'm dipping out early today. My son and my wife have a, what is that, mother-son dance tonight. So I'm going to get out a little early so we can go take pictures and do all that fun stuff. Mommy, son dance, where the heck's that? He's, what grade is he in? He's in pre-K. Yeah, I was going to say, they're already starting that stuff? Wow, alright. You know, it's adorable. Like, I've gone to two with my daughter, but, like, she doesn't enjoy loud noises or crowds. So we were there for, like, collectively between the 2 years, maybe 15, 20 minutes. You know, we go in, she grabs a cookie, and she goes, I want to go home. I'm like, why did we even do this? So I think they're a little young still to be doing it, but whatever. The picture's worth it. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's typically, you know, when they're a little older, particularly daddy-daughter. You know, the daddy-daughter dance at, when they're, like, 5 or 6 or 7. Those are really what it's all about. The only thing I guess I would be worried about is that, you know, you're overdoing it. So by the time you get to those, which are really special for everybody, you know, it's just like, eh, it's just like overdoing that again. Yeah, so, I don't know. You know, the kids... It sounds great to the kids, and then they get there, and then they're like, I don't know about all this. So I agree. I would rather them do it when they're a little older and not have these, you know, memories of, oh, I didn't really enjoy that, and then they not want to do it when they actually know what the hell is going on. And not to mention, it's a new wardrobe every time we've got to do it. You know, I had to buy my son cowboy boots, new flannel. You know, it's not the end of the world, right? It's not like you can't ever wear it again, but they got to get new clothes every time they do it because there's always a theme. Yep, you know, it's one of those things where if they're doing it, well, then you got to do it, right? How do you not, right? You can't sit this one out. I mean, I guess you could, but, you know, then it's like, oh, you know, they shouldn't even be doing it, you know, because if they're doing it, you kind of got to go. I don't know. It is a bit much. But, yeah, everybody's doing it now. It's like, Oh, we got a good thing. Let's ruin it. Anyhow, I'm sure they'll love the pictures. So, I don't know at what point would be the optimum age for that, but there's going to be a time where the daddy-daughter dance in particular is going to be, really special. I'm guessing somewhere in that 7 to 10 stretch. W8RC, Wyndham. Good morning, Donald and Sean. That's just today's society in a nutshell. Let's take something good, and let's do it in excess, and let's ruin it. And I think when they're a little older and they actually get the point of it, they'll appreciate it more. They do this at 6:30, like 6:30 to 8. My daughter's 5; she'll be 6 this month, but it's just like I put him to bed at 7:30. Go ahead, Donald.
Good morning, Dakota. Good morning, Sean. Daddy-daughter dances. Well, my daughters were, I was divorced when my daughters were 7 and 3.5, and the 3.5 one, as some of you know, is not legitimately mine. But my 7-year-old is very tall now. I'm 6'1", and she's a little bit taller than me. But at 7, before she even hit the growth spur, you could see there's going to be height in her. And the daddy-daughter dance for me was easy on my back and not having to, bend over and try to dance with a much smaller child. But, it's a memory I have because I'm divorced out. And, I remember high school graduation or graduation from medical school and everything like that. So that goes right up there with me, especially the fact that I'm divorced out. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just leaving a little pause in there in case somebody else wanted to jump in. But good morning, Donald. And that's kind of what I remember about then. Although my daughter wasn't tall, she's short like me. So your daughter's taller than you. Wow, that's something. When it comes back around, was your ex-wife tall? Anyhow, Dakota?
Yeah, that is a tall girl. My poor kids, I don't think they're going to get any sort of... Well, they might. My one son, my father-in-law is about 6 foot, so we'll see what happens there, because he's built just like him. It's like my head on a tall, skinny body, which is not who I am. The other two are built just like me, stocky little things, so feel bad for them. Go ahead, Donald.
Again, I'm 6'1", and I'm my dad's side of the family, we're all heavy set. So my oldest daughter has pretty much my dad's structure. She's a heavy girl, not obese, just a large bone-structured girl. Now, my illegitimate daughter is taller than her. She's almost like almost 6'3", but my ex-wife's lover was like 6'6", and... between that and my ex-wife, I think Sean asked me how tall my ex-wife was. She was 5'10". Just the structure of the two girls, mine versus the other one, are uniquely different in themselves. Jennifer, my daughter, hit her growth spurt early, and Jessica, the one that is not mine, hit her growth spurt later on in life. So when Jennifer was like in fifth grade, 10 years of age, going through all that, she was much taller than a lot of kids in school. She could almost play like an elementary school basketball team if she wanted to. But then again, she was picked on a little bit because of her height. But then again, she also knew how to defend herself. I taught her a thing or two just in case. But the struggles of being a parent, on top of that being as a single parent, divorced, that whole scenario wasn't pretty, but we all got through it.
Roger. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Got a lot of families broken up like that. It's very difficult, you know, because usually somebody was wronged. You know, so they always say, well, you know, keep things civil for the kids, you know, and all that stuff. That's true. You got to do that, but it can be very difficult for the wronged party. You know, yeah, easy for you to say. You're the one that, you know, did something to me, but, you know, but I'm supposed to, you know, keep it civil, you know. And you do. You have to for the kids, but only one's really, you know, really making the sacrifice there. The one that was wronged. Ah, well. I did not suffer that, so, you know, but I know many, many people that did. It's very difficult to, keep it civil. Let's see here. I got Dakota. I got your wife's workplace on my left here. So that's where I'm at. Well, damn, she's already there. I should have just gave it to her and he could have grabbed it out of the truck. I just pulled into Kroger at 30 Mile Road here. So I'm going to run in real quick, grab a stick of deodorant and run back out. Roger. Go ahead.
Yeah, wrap up that subject. Yeah, it's not easy for anybody. There's no winners in anything like this, and especially when the kids were as young as they were. And I don't even know what truth has been told, you know, from the ex and so on and so forth. So, but, I mean, I've done my best to move on from it, and I have zero contact with the youngest of the two girls because of what I know. And my oldest daughter in Vegas, again, being a doctor, a surgeon, she travels. She's in high demand. She's been here to Michigan to Mott's Children's Hospital a few times. And, you know, I hear stories from her saying, yeah, I was in Ann Arbor for 3 days, and that was it. And I, you know, I'm sorry I just didn't call to say hi, but, you know, it was, she's just, like, on the go. But she's in high demand for what she does. The bright side about all of this is that the fact is she's highly successful. My ex-wife and I are, we just kind of look at each other and just, like, we created this doctor monster that's in high demand. Like, what went wrong there? But, you know, that's the bright side from my marriage, and that's about the last I'm going to say of it. We're both very proud of her. Both our families are proud of her, extended families, so on and so forth. So, Sean, over to you.
Yep. It really is about the kids when there's a breakup, so... It's very difficult, like I said. I appreciate what, you know, based on what you told me, I think you're the one that had to make the major concessions in that. So, good for you. It's hard to look past things. Anyhow, down in the ditch here on 59 where it rolls through Utica. So, let me know if, I'm sure Dakota's inside. I'm deliberately talking a little long here because I want to see if my signal gets noisy, like right here going under mound. But let me know if my signal is a little noisy or bacon fry or something like that. And I'm going underneath Merrill. So this is as bad as it gets right here. How? Copy.
In all honesty, I am on my whoops on, whoops off, talking through my node, and if you didn't tell me where you were or what was going on, I would have just thought you were in normal traffic, and most likely maybe even on Metro Parkway instead of M59. Your signal's, you know, just fantastic, and there's a little crackling in there, maybe a little break and fry, but I mean, it's nothing that disturbs the audio, which is quite impressive, to say the least. Go ahead.
I'm back.
That was quick. It should be. Well, it should be okay. I was having a little trouble there, but I think that was an antenna issue that was identified. So I'm back up on the surface now. Anywho, Dakota, did you get your stinky stick?
I got my stinky stick. I think I was in and out in under 2 minutes, and I'm getting back on the highway, so I don't think I delayed a whole lot here.
Yay, got a stinky stick. A couple of days ago, Sean, I was talking, and I had moved my stuff around where my desk was because of the ceiling buckling and getting wet. So I moved everything out of the way, and I had a buzzing sound or a humming sound on my radios and talking through my node, and I came to realize that I moved my node, and I put it like 18 inches, if that, from my Wi-Fi box on my other end of my coffee table there, not my coffee table, but my end table there to the love seat. So they were like side by side with each other, and I was getting this nasty buzz or hum. And I figured that's what it's got to be because that's the only thing that moved when I moved the furniture around. But I moved now. My notes in my bedroom, and the Wi-Fi box is still out here in the living room, and that hum and buzz that was there seems to have gone. If you hear it, I'd be surprised because it's, you know, there's greater distance now between the two than when they were both in the living room originally.
No, crystal clear. No no artifacts. But, yeah, that's the nice thing about the node. You can put it anywhere in the house, you know. You can get some separation from the other electronics. And they do every now and again. They'll pick up a little buzzing. So if you found a spot where it's clean, then you're golden. So how far have you gotten with that thing when it comes back around? Because you know, with that thing being eight stories up, you got it in on that window ledge. I wonder what kind of range you get out of that sucker when it comes back around. Oh, let's see, Dakota, I got to find me a coffee. That one I did yesterday was a royal pain.
I still swear by my clear note. I don't use it nearly enough, but when I want to, it just always works, and it's like one of those pieces of technology or just kit in general where you just appreciate its simplicity and reliability because, you know, things like that are far and few between nowadays. And, you know, we did that range test on the antenna at my house, 10 miles on a half watt clear node, pretty unreal. That's why I'm super excited to get this pseudo repeater high profile node back on the air. Phil said it sounded awesome. Granted, he's probably hearing ground wave from 3 feet away, but, yeah, I think it's going to be cool. And there's, Phil said he's got a couple buddies that just got their ticket in our area, too. There's Wyatt, there's some dudes in town, so I think it's actually going to get quite a bit of use.
Yeah, there are quite a few new ham tickets out there besides just Wyatt. There's a person by the name of Sean, spelled with a U. But, yeah, it's like a floodgate of new tickets everywhere within the southeast Michigan area, and I'm talking all the way up to north of 69 out towards Flint and stuff. But as far as my node, when it sat in the living room on my desk, I could only get to the north as far as the cozy cabin. But as far as the south, I never really tested it because I don't travel much south of 696 anymore, unless I'm going cross town. And of course, I haven't done much traveling cross town since the construction. And, you know, Joe goes out that way a lot, but she's not, you know, a ham operator or with a node or anything, or her radio, excuse me, they can work the node. So to the south, I don't know. Once I get past all this stuff and I get back to working on my balcony and getting an antenna and things like that, I'm going to try to find some way of getting a better antenna, if I can, attached to the node where I can put an outside antenna on. But that's, like I said, everything's on delay right now because of this and a major financial hit that I took earlier this year. start my new year off with a bang, so to speak. And, yeah, so a lot of things right now are currently on hold.
Well, there you go. Let's see here. How bad is the Starbucks? I don't know. Where are you at, Dakota? Looking at this line at the Starbucks.
Coming up on 23 here. It says I'm 11 minutes away.
All right. I'm going to get in line here at Starbucks. Hopefully it doesn't screw things up too badly.
Ah, Starbucks. Yesterday, DoorDash, Dakota, Sean knows about the Starbucks in my area. It's right across the street from my senior campus, practically right across the street. A whole 2.5 tenths of a mile, because sometimes it shows up at 2 tenths of a mile, sometimes it shows up at 3 tenths of a mile. I don't know how the building moves. But anyhow, yesterday they opened up nearly, well, they were open for pickup and you can go inside, but DoorDash was like an hour and a half behind. And my delivery was so screwed up, my order was like $30. I ordered a lot of stuff. And I was dissatisfied with the way the DoorDash driver mishandled my order so badly that I got it was about $15 in, like, between a coffee and a sandwich or whatever it was that was ordered for the other person. And I ended up getting a $25 refund on a $30 order. And the fact that the DoorDash was even, just the worst I've ever experienced. But DoorDash gave me that much credit. That was quite impressive. No questions asked. I just, showed them the pictures and wrote a nice little informative letter to DoorDash on the internet. And boom, 75% return or so, whatever it was. That's more than I asked for. So there was some good in that. Back to you when it comes around.
Well, I've never done it, so I don't know how that all works. And I just can't. I realize that it works for you, obviously, and it makes a lot of sense, but. I just can't. I just jump in my car, even if I throw on sweatpants and slippers and go get it myself. I just can't warm up to it, It's, I don't understand the fee structure, right? It's like, you're tipping in the restaurant, but now you got this new component where you gotta get a tip. So you gotta tip the driver and the restaurant, plus there's a fee. Now I understand sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But I'm just like, holy cow, by the time you add that all up, it's crazy. It's like, then I understand there's a rating system, so if you don't tip the driver well, then, I don't know. I just don't like the whole, I don't like tip culture in general. I generally do it, and I generally do it really well, but because it is what it is, I hate tip culture. I really do. Leaves this stuff arbitrary, I always go over because I don't know what's appropriate, what's right. I want to be, looked at as cheap. But, God, I hate tip culture. Dakota?
Connected to CMN Network.
That ain't DBS. I absolutely despise tip culture. There's very few things I think that should be tipped, and that's one, if you're serving me. Two, if you're delivering something to me. DoorDash is the extent of what that means, not my Amazon guy, not my UPS guy. That is your job, and do your job. No one tips me for fixing the computer. But there are certain things, I'm like you, Sean. If I'm tipping someone and they took care of me, I'm going to take care of them. Like, I got my hair cut yesterday. I really like the barber I go to. I tipped him $15 on a $25 haircut, which is probably just beyond excessive. But I know that when I call that dude and I say, I need a haircut, like I did yesterday, he took me as a walk-in and gave me a good haircut, and I was on my way. It's certain things you're kind of, if you're a regular, right, you take care of the people that you see regularly. But I agree, this whole carry-out tip is the dumbest thing ever. Tropical smoothie, we've talked about this, where
they want a tip on me going in the store to pick up my smoothie that I placed the order online. So that in theory, or in reality, they did less work than if I went in and ordered through them because they didn't even have to put the order in. I'm not tipping you for making me a smoothie. That's your job.
I learned tip culture from my ex-wife and her sister, and the two of them were so good at what they did, waitressing and running restaurants. The old Sambo's, Seasons, and Silverman's restaurant chains are the three chains that they worked while I was married. And between the two of them, they could have opened up a restaurant of their own when, about the time I divorced between the Seasons and Silverman's years. Before they went to work for Silverman's, I said, why don't we just, like, start our own restaurant? You girls have the talent. I have the talent, you know, as far as, you know, food prep, food, you know, handling food, because my years of meat cutting, processing. We can get the best of the best of the people that we had amongst the restaurants locally in the area, and we can just start our own restaurant. We were actually going to start it at 11 Mile on DeQuinder, just where Ponderosa used to be prior after it was Silverman's, so Sean would know the area. Break. I had to take a sip of coffee there. But the whole DoorDash thing, yeah, I have mobility issues. I don't drive. I don't own a car. Very little driving that I do. I can walk there in the summertime, and I probably will. But in conditions like it was this winter, I can't go outside. Now, the fees that I pay just like Amazon, a one-time subscription fee, which I just renewed 2 years or 2 days ago on the 11th. So I'm good for another year. Zero delivery fees. Service fees. These are hypothetical numbers, but let's say they charge me $6 in service fees, but because of me being an old fart, I only pay $2 in service fees, so my service fees are reduced 66%. And when you balance it out with a decent $5 tip, it almost breaks even to where I'm just paying for the food and the tax, and I try to keep it within that. And very rarely do I go over $5 on anything, but sometimes I get those DoorDash drivers that are phenomenal, polite. They text message you along the way saying, hey, I'm still sitting here waiting, or I'm stuck in traffic or something like that. If they go the extra mile and I carry on a text message during the delivery, I give them a buck or two more.
So I guess the question I have is, okay, so, you know, there's a service fee and there's a delivery fee. You know, I get it. You can get those waived or you can pay for a subscription and get those for free. But there's but if, let's say, you didn't have any of it covered, you'd have a service fee, a delivery fee, a tip to the driver. What about a tip to the restaurant? Do you tip the restaurant at all? Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's appropriate. I know some people don't tip on carryout at all, the driver being the exception. But, you know, what if you're used to, like I tip low on a carryout, depending on how much trouble they had to put it together. And but I still tip the restaurant. So that would, you would have to do that as well. So, you know, that would be four things, right? You know, and you can eliminate any of them, but. But basically, there's four things there. There's a service fee, a delivery tip, and a restaurant tip. Dakota?
I've never tipped the restaurant. If you compare the prices from, like, if you go in for pickup, they're always inflated. So that either goes to DoorDash or the restaurant. Either way, I don't care. I'm not paying more. I pay for DashPass because it gives me free delivery and it reduces the fees. So, you know, the $10 a month it costs, whatever, because it saves me countless trips out for lunch, which in my opinion is worth the money, just not having to navigate Hall Road. And then I get, you know, there's a lot of times too where it actually, like, you do get good deals. Like, Eat Thai will do BOGO. So my buddy and I at work will order lunch, it's $18. And it's like, you can't, where can you get lunch for two people for $18? So, you know, sometimes it shakes out and you benefit from it like that. But, yeah, the prices are always inflated on DoorDash. I try to only order from, which most of them do, is $0 delivery over $12. you know. I can leave and spend $18, or I can DoorDash it and spend $22. Is kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It sounds like Dakota's got some similar things there, where you pay the pass fee, one-time fee for the year, and you get free delivery on everything, but you still have that minimum order. I think it's like $12 for me on average, anywhere from 10 to 15, so let's use the number 12 for that. And, Sean, we're talking about tipping, you know. I know how much you pay for your coffee. You know, I've been with you going to Starbucks in the morning, and there's no tip with that, to tip the baristas or the lady at the window or any of that. So, you know, how do you do that? Majority of my life was, you know, in restaurants. Drive-thru was not that popular for me growing up, and tipping those kind of, you know, window people or anything else. So I don't have an answer to that. I'm just going by hip culture and things I learned from my ex-wife and my ex-sister-in-law in the good time, back in my good days in my marriage and everything else and family. Those two girls, ladies now, grandmothers and grandparents and everything else, we've all aged a bit, but they did teach me about tipping, and we go to a restaurant like Mr. Paul's there on Grosbeck, was a family restaurant of ours, and, you know, back in the 80s, it was 15%, and you're in a place with liquor, it's 20%, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, it's hard to get the numbers, but, yeah, I try to be as fair as I can to my DoorDash drivers, and then my pizza delivery, which I could get through DoorDash. No, I have a good rapport with Marcos there next door to Starbucks, and I let them deliver to me, and that way I see the family, and We keep in touch because we have a bit of a personal bond over the last 2 years that I've been working with them. So, anyhow, Sean, over to you.
Well, half my problem with tip culture is the expectation, right? Tipping should be for when there's something out of the ordinary. And, you know, the ordinary should be, it should be worked into, and they should be paying the ordinary to their people. You know, like Dakota says, for what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah, when you do Starbucks, there's tipping there. It's, you know, there's an ask. You don't generally do it at the window, though. You do it on the app, the same app you pay with. You do it there. And, you know, you take, you know, they even have this thing where, oh, they'll give you up to, you know, you've got up to, like, 12 hours to, you know, include a tip. They, you know, so there's definitely a tip culture at the Starbucks window. But, you know, I've done it occasionally, but I don't do it on, it's not on the regular for me at all. Dakota, I am just turning onto Hall Road here. I stopped and got my coffee right here by, where am I, Hayes? I think I'm Hayes, so I don't know where you're at, but back on track.
I am in my parking spot, so I'll be here waiting.
A-A-W-O-J. Morning, Rick. We'll get you in there in a second. This is W8RCY. Yeah, one final note on the tip thing, though, is, I've never experienced window tipping or anything like that, but, And I get it, and I understand your point, and you're also educating me on that to, you know, consider it. But overall, like I say, I've been around enough people in the business, in restaurants, high-end restaurants, Joe Muir's, Carl's Chop House, and stuff like that, that my parents took me to as a kid, and I saw how much money my parents would leave, and so on and so forth. But also personal service. My ex-wife and her sister, I watched how they treated people. People would come into these restaurants. They knew everybody by name. waitresses didn't call guys, you know, honey, babe, sweetie, or anything like that, especially regular customers. And you get people like that, and, you know, they're there with their families, and, you know, again, the one positive thing about those two women, they taught me a lot, because I watched how they treated their customers and customer service and never messed up orders majorly. You know, the two of them, they work if they worked a group of people the size of what we have at Saturday morning breakfasts, they knew everybody's name. They treated everybody with respect. Food was never messed up. They look at the food before they put it out, and they look at their tickets, and they say, hey, this is supposed to get an English muffin, not a bagel or something like that. You know, they knew how to do it, and I think staffers today in restaurants just don't have that, I don't know, je ne sais quoi, I guess is the word, I don't know. But anyway, Rick, over to you, then Sean. Good morning, Rick.
Thank you, Donald. Fellas, Sean, Dakota, interesting conversation this morning there. Personally, I myself, I've been a single guy for most of my adult life. And on the way home from work, I usually passed about 100 restaurants a day, kind of thing. So I picked three or four of those kind of things, and I stopped there every day. I spent my adult life eating in restaurants. And I consider waitresses God's gift to men. they would make the drive home, and the workday just disappear. Good-looking young lady, smiling, whether she wanted to or not, bringing an endless cup of coffee, rushing over to grab your plate before it got cold on the thing, and bring it over to you. It was. I appreciated the heck out of them, and I tipped them that way. And they treated me with the highest respect there. I always got the most fantastic service. Just for the measly couple of bucks, you know, a few bucks for the tip there. So, that's my take on it. I didn't do a lot of delivery stuff or any of that. I stopped and I got to gawk at them and talk to them and play around, flirt with them, make flirt back kind of thing. It was, like I say, God's gift to men. D-A-W-O-J, I'm not sure if it goes to Sean or Dakota.
Well, I'd have been next up, but I think Dakota checked out. Let's find out, and then I'll just grab it back.
Yeah, I was just waiting to clear out, so just did the handoff with Sean. I'm going to jump out, get in the office here, and I'll catch you guys this afternoon. Everyone have a good day. NADDF.
All right, Dakota, yeah, I figured you'd want to get out before I gabbed, but anyhow, we'll see you. I'll get this thing looked at today and see if I can drop it off before you head out. You said you wanted to head out early, so keep me apprised. Anywho, morning, Rick. And, I was explaining earlier, I don't know how long you were listening, but not a fan of tip culture. I do it, and I think I do it fairly well, but doesn't make me a fan.
Dakota, if you still have an ear in there, have a good day, and all the best to you throughout the day. Yeah, like I say, I don't mean to be repetitive, but I looked at how, you know, 40 years ago, we're talking 40 years ago when my ex-wife and my sister-in-law were working the restaurant circuits compared to what, you know, things are now 40 years later. And Sean knows part of the reason why I don't join the breakfast is because of the issues I have with that restaurant and staff more than anything and above anything else. But it just... I used the ladies from my past as a model or as a guideline, a stepping stone, whatever you want to call it, in culture overall. And the tip, of course, is a part of it. You know, if I had the waitresses that I had 40 years ago today, I'd probably be tipping better than what I tip now. I mean, of course, there's, you know, cost and increase and everything else. But I guess I'm just going to wrap up the subject by simply saying that for those two women in my past, they set the standard of how I tip today. And it covers everything from, you know, service, your orders, how they treat you. They know you by name if you're a regular and you're not called honey, sweetie, babe, or anything like that. I've come to this restaurant enough, you know my name, and get my order right. And it just got to the point for me that I can't do that anymore. And it's not just the one restaurant, it's any restaurant. If I'm a regular at a restaurant and they, you know, they still can't get my simple orders right, I'm done, and so on and so forth. So enough of that. Rick, over to you, sir.
Well, yep, Sean, and I understand. I don't like letting go of any money. But when they spend your life in the restaurants kind of thing, the tip, and you know, waitresses, they get paid less than, you know, an hourly wage kind of thing, but the employer can prove a certain amount of tips per day, so that's deducted from their hourly wage kind of thing. So tips is really all I got. And for me, the waitress is basically the face of the restaurant kind of thing. The owners don't come out and talk to you. The cook doesn't come out and talk to you kind of thing. They don't do anything for you kind of thing. The waitresses are the restaurant kind of thing, in my opinion. Whether it's a good place or a bad place kind of thing. Although once in a while, when I've got exceptionally good cooking, I would tip the waitress and the cook. I would usually freak out the cook, and then I got really good food for a long time afterwards. But in the long run, I think it worked out because I always got great service, smiles. I never ran out of coffee. Anything I asked for, they got immediately. Not okay, I'll get around to it, kind of thing. It was it's just one of those expenses in life, you know. DEWOJ, Sean.
Well, yeah, it's what they pay. You know, it's the that's what I, you know, that's what makes you know, the tip culture we have is the you know, the fact that they don't pay the waitresses a fair wage, and that's how you end it. You know, start paying them. You know, start paying them a real wage, and you know, that would kill it. But they don't do that. You know, the restaurants don't want to do that, and you know, they could incorporate, you know, that into the cost of the food, and you know, eliminate in one swoop. But they just leave that to the you know, just leave that to the customers and the waitresses to figure out, and they don't have to deal with it. But so it is that fact that sets the whole thing in motion. And speaking of tipping the cooks, there's a little restaurant right here that's world renowned for their world. But it might be their corned beef sandwiches at Jimmy D's or something else. And but on their menu they have, I think, a you know, by the you know, cooks a beer or something like that. It's like, you know, you can order that, and you know, they just, you know, of course they don't bring anything, but it's a spot to, you know, buy the cooks a beer. And all right, I'm just pulling up here in my parking spot. I'm gonna get inside, start my day. Good hearing everybody, and I guess it's supposed to be pretty breezy today, so I see the flags are all shooting straight out, so there's a lot of wind picking those up, but doesn't look like anything crazy yet. Donald, go ahead, pick it up. Rick, catch you later. WF.
Sean, have a great day. Good conversation with Dakota as well, and you know, Rick is a little late on that one, but Rick's input is always good to hear as well. I just, I'm watching the news here, and they just showed the flag on top of the administration building there in downtown Mount Clemens, the new glass house building, and that thing is just straight as a razor in the wind. So don't blow away walking from your car to the door, for sure, because your coffee's going to go flying if you don't have two hands on it. Catch up with you later, for sure. And to wrap up the conversation about waitressing and restaurants and tipping and everything else, again, I hate to be repetitive, but the ex and her sister, my sister-in-law, they were the team, and they ran good restaurants. They, you know, like I said, this is 40 years ago in the 80s. You can even go as far back as in the 70s when I met my future ex-wife. It was people, society, everything, pride and stuff like that. That's all these things that were done back then where tips were different than what they were now. And I don't know if Sean's got an HT on him, but I remember my ex-wife was paid, I think, $2.80 an hour as a waitress when I met her, and she relied on tips much more. And I can't even think about what the or how that is all processed now with the higher hourly rates and percentages and so on and so forth. So the whole thing is just a cluster fudge of a mess. Rick, over to you, sir.
Yep, 7-3, Sean, if you're still listening. And the only thing I do compromise me with that, instead of just tipping wages, just paying, the restaurant pays them a good wage, and that's the end of that, is that the bad waitresses make the same money as the good waitresses, which kind of take away the incentive for the good waitresses. With the tipping system, you can let them know if a waitress was really bad, I'd leave her a penny or two. A complete insult would tick her off, everybody laugh at her kind of thing. And I don't care if she thinks I'm an idiot or not kind of thing. It lets them know that I didn't appreciate you, that kind of thing. And if you want to make some money, you better straighten up kind of thing. But you can't do that if you're already paying the restaurant because they're all getting the same money. I was going to say it's kind of like union folks. You get good workers and bad workers, but they all make the same wage. Enough of that. TEWOJ. Donald, go ahead.
You bring up a valid point with that. The waitresses are bad, but also the waitresses themselves, they could be having a bad day, get up in the wrong side of the bed, or not feeling well. I dealt with that with the two ladies that I discussed over the years. Again, we were all in our 20s, and 40 years ago, a lot can change, and well over 40 years really. You go back to 1978, but when it all started with me and the future ex and her sister. But times have changed, society's changed, attitudes have changed. But if it gets down to the bottom line, just, good service, served with good food, like they say, we talk about the cooks and everything else. I mean, it takes a whole team to make it right, of course. But it's like it's snowing out in West Bloomfield because on the news they're talking about this shooting out there in a live shots, it's actually snowing, and I just heard on my scanner that the wind is so bad that there's power lines arcing in the area of 11 Mile and John R., which I'm about a mile and a half from, I would say, to the south and west of where I live. So, I don't know what it's going to be like out there today, but haven't heard from Tom, KJO, yet, so I don't know what the roads are going to be like if he's going to be on the road. For sure. Everybody else is gone, so it sounds like it's you and me, Rick.
I do have one comment about the eliminating the tips, and that's, we don't do it in any other industry, even service industries. If you get a, plumber comes to your house and fixes your pipes, whether you get a good one or a bad one, you don't tip. We don't tip. And my industry is service related. It's like we don't tip in any other service industry. So I get that. The way you deal with that is you just don't go to that place or you tell the owner, or you pay. That would be a real tip if somebody goes above and beyond. you know, and you decide to do something that's totally unexpected, you know. So I don't buy that. I get it. You know, they're both getting paid the same, but there'll be other ways for that feedback to, you know, to get back to the owner, and then they get fired, you know. So, yeah, no, I you'll never convince me tip culture is a good thing.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Good point, Sean. That's for sure another good point. There's so many different things to look at and so many different angles that this can be approached on. So we could carry this on all day, but we all have things to do here. So, but, yeah, I'm seeing now, I'm watching the weather on the news, and snow is everywhere. It's out in West Bloomfield. The traffic is, I'm watching traffic slowdowns. The crash out there, Orchard Lake and 696, has still got the freeway closed for the last couple of hours. And just before you jumped in, Sean, I mentioned to Rick about Tom. I wonder where Tom is today, if he's going to be out in this mess, because it looks like it's going to be bad everywhere. And like I said, there's power line issues already. I guess there's power lines down at the area of 11 and John R., so... That's about it for now. I am going to wrap up because my coffee is getting cold, and it's homemade coffee, so I can get it reheated. And you know, I'm just drinking black boring coffee today. So I'll let Rick finish up, and everybody have a great day. W8RCY.
Okay, 7-3, Donald, have a good one there, and we'll catch you later. Sean? I would not try to convince you of anything, except one thing, maybe. You need to get out more, you need to work less, and shoot more. That's about the only thing I'd ever try and convince you. You get a good head on your shoulder, and you don't need my input on anything. But, and yeah, it is nasty over here. I just got in. When I got on the radio, I just got in from out feeding the cat there, and the wind was picking up. It started to get nasty out. We're supposed to get some nasty weather here, and it looked like from the radar we're going to do it, so... I am going to keep my old butt right here in the house. Furthest I'm going to get is out on the porch with my cigar after I have myself some breakfast. So you guys have yourself a great day, and we'll catch you later. KG8WOJ.
Well, Rick, I hope it didn't come across as, you know, when I said you'll never convince me. I was just having fun with it. I wasn't... I hope you didn't take that to mean I was, like, disagreeable on it. Just, whatever. We beat this one to death, right? But, no, I get it. It is a valid point. And, you know, and I got to thinking about it as well as you were saying it. And then I thought, you know, I thought, well, we don't do it anywhere else, and we find a way to make it work. So, but there's a valid point there. There's no question about that. So I didn't mean to, you know, sound so forceful about it. I do got to get to work here, though. I walked in the door and got on the Cisco phone here, so I'm going to focus on getting the day started here. W8FU.
Oh, no problem, young man. I didn't take any kind of offense or anything at all to it. I just, yeah, it's just our opinions, you know. And what the heck, if we can't talk about them, what the, you know, what are we doing on the radio? But anyway, have yourself a great day there, and I always respect what you got to say. You're a pretty smart guy, and I always listen. Have yourself a good one. We'll catch you later. AE8WOJ.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8VD, W8VD, N8WRO.
Yeah.
W8VD.
Yeah, Wally, we got wind-related debris over here on the Low Plank Road just west of, on Armada Ridge, actually, west of Low Plank Road. Can you get on the VoIP line and have Dave give me a call on myself?
Yeah, just a second.
Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, I got a text in to him. Oh, never mind, here he is.
All right, just advise him, assisting PD, closing down a road. We have a carport in the middle of the road, just west of Low Plank on Armada Ridge. I just wanted to advise him, assisting.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8VD, N8WRO. W8VD, clear. I'm sorry, N8WRO, clear.
I'll be right back with you.
All right, copy.
WROWABD. Sorry, you still need me?
No, negative, Wally. I'm all set. Just want to thank you for the assist. I'm back in the shack again. We had a large carport structure blew in the road there, and I just want to let Dave know I was assisting there with traffic, but FD's got it out of the road. It's clear. They'll be opening the road soon. So, again, thanks for the assist.
Okay. Yeah, I was on the phone for work. All right. I'll talk to you later.
NAWRO, clear as well.
What a revolting development this is.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
K-A-B-B. Good morning, this is KPR. Good morning. Well, I hope you don't have to work today, or you're able to work from home, because it is a yucky, sloppy mess out here.
Yeah, I have a, I'm not working, but I do have a doctor's appointment, which I'm just heading off to now. Left early, so I don't have to rush.
That's good. I will say this, traffic seems light, you know, getting into rush hour or getting out of rush hour A on a Friday. It's not real traffic yet, but it is yet. Anyway, what else has happened?
Well, besides the incidents of yesterday, that was very frightening. You know, I used to belong to that temple, but we have lots, most of our family is there, so certainly a frightening situation.
Yes, very unfortunate. Yes, the good news is that it sounds like there were no serious injuries, at least physical, the trauma. The trauma and traumatization is a bad part. That's very hard. But glad nobody was otherwise seriously injured or worse.
Yeah, we're very thankful for that. I have not heard any news this morning, so I don't know if they know anything more about the perpetrator or what happened, but I will tune into that later today and see what's going on.
Yeah, I have not followed the news myself, I'm sure. Although I was dialing around shortwave last night, for a few minutes, kind of on a whim. Yeah, there was some news, there was a news station, it wasn't super strong. I think it may have been one of the Florida stations connected with the broadcast company that's in Okeechobee. I don't remember the call letter, WMI something. Anyway, there was a short segment on that. Developing news in Michigan, blah blah blah. So it's it's out there. But that was about all the news that I got out of it.
W8RCY.
I think it was Donald in there. I started to transmit, but go ahead.
Real quick, first, good morning, Phil. Good morning, Don. Phil, there's going to be a press conference in about 10 minutes on the news. Governor Whitmer will be speaking from West Bloomfield, and, of course, the authorities will have their updates as well. But it'll be a live news news conference starting at 9:15. I've got Fox 2 on, and that's what I'm watching right now on my laptop. Just thought I'd give you that little bit of information. I'll let you gentlemen continue on. W8RCY.
All right, well, thanks for that info. I'll tune in on the radio here. I'm sure it'll be on WWG or whatever. So, all right, thanks for that info. If you want to find out what's going on. Anyways, so it's kind of funny last night. They were setting up to do the press conference at the Jewish Community Center, and I'm part of this West Bloomfield Cable Commission, and we have we do media and news and stuff like that, and one of our guys there, one of our producers, was at there, all that. Press credentials and all that, and as they have on national Fox News, they have the shot of this waiting for the press conference, and we're looking, and also we see our guy walking across the camera, so it was kind of neat. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, cameo. Be sure that he'll be signing autographs later. Yeah. Well, thanks, Donald, for jumping in and letting us know. Yeah, I'm in the car for at least a little bit, so I may tune in as well. So the road is wet, except where the cars aren't. It's got some slush buildup, here on the freeway. So as long as you don't move, you're fine. But if you try to do anything else, if you got to merge or get over or whatever, then it's a harrowing moment. We should all be driving a little slower. That's what I think. But as I'm going south, I think it's just slightly less cold. I think up near 59, it was just a little colder down here toward Crooks and Big Beaver, and it's more wet than snow now.
Okay, well, traffic light out on Telegraph. And all the other lights seem to be on. One light seems to be on. Oh, this one's out too. Okay. A couple of the more minor lights, not the major traffic section, are out. Huh. But like I said, all the buildings have power. Odd.
A lot of power at our house flashed this morning. About, I'd say a little before 7 or a little after 7, laying there. I hadn't got up yet, and all of a sudden it was eerily quiet for just a few seconds, and then we heard click, and, beep from this direction and beep from that direction with various things turning back on. And it must have only been for several seconds because my radio next to my, the clock radio next to my bed, you know, you can unplug it for about 5 or 6 seconds. It'll keep time. If it's longer than that, then you got to reset it. There's just a capacitor in there or something like that. And it was fine. You know, but the, you know, the microwave downstairs and all the other clocks and stuff, all reset. All the computers are off. But it was enough of a blitz.
Okay, I'm trying to get through an intersection here where nobody seems to know what to do when the power's out. I mean, they don't know it's supposed to be treated like a stop sign. And they're sitting there waiting for all this traffic. Okay, hold on. I got to get through this. People are just not stopping. Crazy. All right. So, yeah, I see. What, yeah, the roads are... are wet. I'm on Square Lake Road right now, and are you on 75?
Yeah, I'm going down 75, coming up the Big Beaver. And yeah, the further I go, it's just it's less snow. At this point, it's just wet. Just, you know, heavy wet.
I got to take the same route, but not quite so far. So, thanks for the report. I'll watch out for that. Yeah, I don't know. People are going to be looking at properties today. It's kind of miserable.
Yeah, that's what happens. You know, I've got a morning appointment, Friday morning, my standing stepdad time, and then I've got an appointment at the office at noon, and then I've got a client showing in Royal Oak or Claussen, I think at 2 o'clock, and I think that's just a single one, and then TBD after that. Looks like it's going to be a busy weekend, but today that's just the only outside appointment, KAPR, KAPB.
Okay, let's switch over to Warren here. Yeah, that's good. And then I'm planning going down to Toledo Swamp on Sunday, but the weather, I don't know, they're talking about a possible snow event over Saturday night and Sunday morning. Could hamper things.
Yeah, I saw your message on that, and I apologize for not responding. My response is maybe. I'd like to go. That's a good swap. I've been there taking stuff down and sold stuff, and that's not bad. It's kind of one of those locations where, you know, it's just big enough because it can kind of pull from population areas, you know, Detroit area, Ann Arbor area, you know, Toledo area, you know, in the western Cleveland area. So anyway. But I very TBD. If I'm able to make it, it will be a game time decision.
Yeah, I think it'll be for me. It'll be a weather. I'll go wake up, see what the weather is, make that decision at that time. Because if it's a real mess, I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, I need to be going in the other direction. It was posted in the Slack last night, or not Slack, what is it, Discord? Somebody advertised a PW1 in Traverse City for $1,700. Looks great. Looks like it's in great condition. It's a relatively higher serial number, I think. So I think it's the version that has the power off pass through, where you don't have to have it on just to get a signal through it. Yeah, it's a good price. If I had a little more motivation and a little more pad in the fund, I'd call the guy up and figure out a way to drive up there this weekend. But yeah, good price.
Yeah, so you know, I posted about the one I saw on Marketplace, and it was misleading. It said right under the title to. 1234, which sounds sufficient because that's just 1, 2, 3, 4. And then below it said 25, but it said there's also something like clearing there or something like that. Maybe he had reduced the price, but it turned out it was 25, not 1,200.
Yeah, I think 25 is probably a bit much. I mean, even if it's, you know, got the box and everything and it's perfect. Yeah, that's, I don't know. It just seems like you can find them elsewhere relatively frequently, you know, multiple times a year for a lot less than that. So, well, wish them luck.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to have a PW2, I tell you, but that's not in the cards, James. Unless I win the lottery.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the PW2 and see what it actually does. I mean, my understanding is it's still 1,000 watts, so it's not louder. I assume, therefore, that it's better, you know, interface or capability or, you know, I think it maybe supports two radios a little more smoothly than the PW1. You know, something you can do real-time switching or whatever, I don't know. But I'll have to look and see what the big issue is. Sure is nice looking.
Well, it's got that remote interface so you can operate it from a computer or the panel, anywhere from anywhere, you know, which is still an issue. I would love to be able to operate mine remotely if I ever did in that situation, but really can't. Still trying to figure out how to interface my Yaesu to that thing so it'll switch bands properly, but I've not been able to do that.
I don't know I don't know what language the Yaesu uses, you know, what their interface protocol is. So, yeah, there's got to be a device out there that'll do that. Yeah, I forgot about the remote ability. That makes sense. You can, it's just like an Ethernet cable or something that connects the head, so you can kind of put it anywhere, or can you put it into, like, a router and control it, like, really remotely?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm almost sure of it. I think they even have a computer program to run it off your PC. Yeah, that'd be nice. I just lost my train of thought. you were making a comment about the, I don't know. I'll remember it in a second.
Well, I also recall that there's some operating mode that has an ultra clean signal, some pre-emphasis or pre-de-emphasis or something like that. But if you're running specifically the 7760 radio and then the PW2 amplifier. You know, I don't know if it's like Yaesu's Pure Class A, which is different, but, you know, it had some sort of an ultra clean mode or something like that. That's not, the technology is kind of interesting for that. Hold on, I gotta merge here. Sorry, buddy. But I read it and I went, okay, that's interesting, but I didn't comprehend exactly what was going on.
Okay, I remember what I was going to comment about the interface with the Yaesu. Yeah, the thing is, yeah, the ICOM uses the CIV line, and they do have a voltage thing on the back of the PW1. If you notice, if you look at the schematic, it's a thing for switching bands via certain voltages, but that's designed for the antenna tuner, and it's just on the PW1, it's got two jacks, as you know, and it's just all on that line, all it does is pass through. It doesn't do anything in the amp. So the only way to switch bands in the amp is with the CIV line. And then Yaesu uses a kind of a binary thing, ABCD, different combinations of ABCD, indicate what band it's on, and I remember somebody did make a converter somebody in Russia, I think, and I tried it. It did not work properly. It would not work properly with the PW1 for some reason. Oh, that's, yeah, it wouldn't work because of that issue with the passing. It was using that line, but it was passing through, and I guess the guy who did it didn't realize that. And somebody used to be a device, it's kind of ham shack thing, I forgot what it was called, that had it, but the guy, company's out of business, and I've never seen one of those units on the market. I would snap one up if I ever saw it.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with ICOM's, you know, band voltage. You know, they got the 110 that they send. You know, whatever band you're on, it's 1.5 volts, the next band is 2 volts, the next band is 2.5 volts, and all that. So it's an easy way to, you could build a decoder. I didn't realize that the amplifier just passed through. I assumed, assumed like you, that the amplifier would look at it in some way. I do recall that when I interfaced the old ICOM 781 to the PW1, that it interfaced immediately. You know, it was immediately talking to it, following bands, you know, set to ALC, no problem. And when I hooked my 7700 up to it, I had difficulty. I had to go through the process a few times, and I don't remember if I had to, like, you know, do a reset on the amplifier so it forgot that it was, you know, that there was a radio interface for Radio 1, and then start the programming thing over again. And I recall reading somewhere else that someone had rewritten the interface instructions, that they basically said that what's in the PW1 manual is awful, and really this was the right way to do it, and there's either they left a step out or they made an assumption about something, and if you follow the manual instructions to the T, it may or may not work, but if you add his other step in, it will always work. And I could probably find it again if I tried. I might have it in the folder with all the documentation for them I have.
Oh, yeah, I'd be interested in that. Yeah, please, when you get a chance. I would appreciate that. Well, I'm where I'm going here. If I can find a parking spot. So, catch you later. Be safe out there. KPV, KPR.
You too. Yeah, there's no snow down here now, so I'm just getting off at 10 Mile Road and almost where I need to be also. So. All right. I'll I think about it later over the weekend. I'll look for that info. Take care. K-A-P-R, K-A-P-B.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
K-A-P-B.
K-A-P-B.
K-C-8-K-J-O. 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 N-A-P-Z-R.
Connected to CMN Network.
K-E-8-R-U-H.
E-B-1.
What's going on?
Look, it's got a half day today, so I'm gonna get off the bus.
Ah, what's the weather doing up there right now?
Not too much, just overcast, 43. It snowed this morning, but all melted already. And the wind was howling about 6 o'clock this morning. It's just probably 20 mile an hour straight. Just
steady wind?
Yep, same here. We didn't get enough snow that it covered the ground or melt, but 47 is windy here, so it's, we'll see. This morning, I'd say in between 6 and 8, it was howling. It was, I was surprised how windy it was.
Too crazy windy right now, but yeah, it was quite, yeah, I think we got about a quarter inch of snow or so. It wasn't a lot, but yeah, it got warm enough quick where it just all melted.
Yeah, I think we're in for quite the weather pattern over the next 3-4 days throughout the entire state. I've seen some snow totals for northern Michigan, potential somewhere in between 12 and 43 inches. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And then I know down here on Sunday they're calling for 60 and rain. So it'll be a wild weather pattern.
Yeah, it's settled for figuring out if it wants to be winter or spring.
Yep, well, sounds like we're going to get a combination of both. But, it'll be a fun one. Hopefully the wind dies down and we don't have to deal with wind and possible snow.
Yep, joys of living in Michigan.
All right, I'm about to pull up to the house here. I just ran out to the barber shop and got a haircut. Now I got to get back into the home office and do some work. I will catch up with you soon. K8RUH. I'll be clear on your final.
And all that, and all they did was cut one hair. That's something. 7-3, be it what?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, I'll be right with you.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8 Fox United.
W8 Uber Uber K8BB. What's happening?
K8 Bouncy Bouncy. Heading out here, got a little jump. It's my daughter's birthday and we're going out to dinner, so I got plenty of time, but I want to get home and change and get ready for that. And then I'm going to stop by Dakota's place and hand him my radio that I tweaked for him so it doesn't burn his house down. Other than that, not a whole lot. I think I got to wash clothes this weekend. Other than that, not a whole lot on the agenda.
Ah, good. Well, congratulations. I don't know if congratulations is the right thing, but do enjoy birthday dinner tonight. That'll be nice. We've got a social engagement tonight, and I don't entirely know what it is, but I was told I must go. Okay. Also heading home. Just leaving a client appointment. And have a moderately busy weekend. We'll see. I know I've got some stuff lined up for tomorrow, and then Sunday is TBD, but I think the Wisconsin QSO party, I think, is this weekend. It's a lot of contesters in the Society of Midwest Contesters FMC. A lot of Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota guys. Those QSO parties tend to be very popular. So I might see if I can get on this weekend for a little bit. I don't recall what day or days it is or what hours, but that's about all I got, I think.
Well, I admire you guys with your enthusiasm. I watch it all the time. You in particular. I keep saying something I'm going to get around to. I'm going to age right out of interest. Story of my life. I get all ready to do the thing I never do. But damn it, I'm ready for it.
Well, you know, those things happen. So, kudos for tweaking a radio so Dakota does not burn his house down. What radio is a fire hazard? Was a fire hazard.
He's built up a small repeater for the network to run up there in that Dryden / Imlay, whatever area you call that. And it was running at like 38 watts, so it's a mobile, 38 watts, and when it's on this network, you can cook an egg on the heat sink. So I pulled it and ran the power down, aligned it and all that stuff, and got it down to 5. It doesn't need to be more than, 5 watts or so. So it's got like a 5 watt and a 10 watt setting. And I should be able to keep that nice and cool. Probably still need a fan, but should be able to keep that nice and cool. And it should be more than enough power for his needs.
Oh, good. Yeah, I would think. I would think 10 watts probably be about the max, but... That sounds like what you're thinking, too. Is it something that will be, like, on the air in that area or with a pair or just kind of a simplex remote node type thing?
No, full duplex on a pair. The idea is there's a bunch of guys up that way, including we're hoping that, Wyatt can get in directly instead of, having to get in and his buddy up that way and then Dakota and a couple of his buddies and all that and maybe it'll bridge that gap between Romeo and then you bounce over to the I forget what machine on the MI1 network you get to next, but we'll see. It's just a funky area up there because all the hills and everything like that. I think Dryden's just the other side of the hill, but it's a filler to cover that area to the north, but it will be a repeater pair on the network. So
you're groovy.
Good for you guys for getting that together. I was talking to Phil earlier, and I know that we didn't talk about his repeater, but I know that he's still got wheels, gears turning, or whatever on that end.
Was there a double in there? All right, maybe not. Yeah, so, we got the one site is sure thing. The one up close, more by Steve. And then, I haven't really pushed or pursued the, I found out some things about the other sites to your, more near you. Or to your east, those are not instead, and I'll use those no matter what, whether it's for Bill or something else, if those manifest. But Phil would like to keep it, you know, in the township, and he looks like he's got something all but a done deal over there, and it actually makes the most sense. So that's where they're going with that, and so there's just some paperwork to be done, I guess. It's for lack of a better term.
Very good. Okay, I will not bug him about it. Boy, I better have HT coverage from my back patio, though. Darn it all. Had that before. That was kind of cool. Very convenient for me, but I will make do what I have to make do.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely a goal. You know, you want to give everybody HD coverage, but you know, you got to try to pick your sites, right? You know, the one that really bothers me is there's just nothing straight north. You know, that Macomb Township, Ray Township, northern, you know, even Shelby and, you know, and Washington and all that. There's just not a lot to latch onto up there, you know. There's no big buildings and, you know, not even a lot of towers, so very strange. Dakota, if you're listening, I am turning into your complex right now. A few minutes ahead of schedule, but just FYI.
So I thought I'd drag my feet there in case Dakota might jump in. PSA, Woodward is completely blocked and closed. Long Lake Road. So, Mr. Woodward. So, that, I'm sure you can show yourself. We're inching along with everybody else as the green lights and red lights will allow us. I don't know what's going on up there. Whether it's trees down or lines down or what. Well, I assume you guys are transacting, so I will stand by. K8BB.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty, though. Well, we are still inching along here, so traffic jam and road closed. Sounds like you guys transacted.
He wasn't there. I ended up talking to one of his coworkers who was asking, he goes, man, he pointed to my work car with all the antennas. He goes, man, you got a CB in there? I said, no, but I got a lot of radios, and we talked for a minute. But I just had Dakota pop the door from his office, threw it on the passenger seat, locked it, and talked to the guy for a minute or two, and then back on the road. I think I'm going to stop at Tractor Supply and buy a couple of bags of corn for my deer. Other than that, to go home. I see there was a major wind tore the entire, you know how these gas stations have that big cover that goes over all the pumps? Looks like the Shell station right near my house took the whole damn thing off and threw it out on the intersection.
We had our power at the house flickered this morning, but it just flickered. It was off for 5 seconds or something. Came right back on. Just enough to reset all the clocks and turn off all the computers. But, yeah, nothing quite like that. But, again, Woodward is closed at, both directions of Woodward Avenue are closed at Long Lake Road, so something down there. So everybody is on Long Lake Road going east or west, and we're just inching along, inching. Oh, well.
Slowly I turn, inch by inch. So, on another note, you have a Pass Labs. Which one do you got? I saw a 350. It was kind of
piquing my interest the other day. And, you know, class A for the first 100 watts and then 350 after that, maybe.
That's a big one. So the one I have is the XA30.5. So it's pure class A, 30 watts channel. Doubles down to 60 watts channel at 4 ohms, but then it has a client header. It'll move into AB, you know, above its class A, and I think it's up to about 150 watts or something like that. I don't use the needle barely moves. When you turn it on, the needle goes basically straight up. You know, and so you're in your class A, and then if it moves above class A into AB, the needle wiggles to the right. And it barely wiggles. But that's what I've got. 350 is a big amp.
Well, a guy that has a shop that, you know, sells that kind of equipment, you know, said he said this is the best deal I have right now in the shop. And it was I looked into it, and it's a past that 350, and so I looked it up online to try to see what he was talking about, and I'm like, ooh, that's neat, that's impressive, I think he was looking to get six out of it.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Is it an X350? Is that the one it is?
I'd have to look it up again. I'm going to think in P. I don't know. I'd have to look it up again.
Okay. Yeah, I think they've got a slightly different nomenclature for the more recent ones, the more current ones, but I don't recall what that is. Mine is the previous generation, so the XA, the 0.5 is what I have, the 0.8 is the current generation. And just some refinements, a little bigger power supply, but essentially it's the same or very similar amplifier. Those are nice. The 30.8 and the 60.8, which is just monoblocks. That's the same amp, but in a mono configuration. That's kind of my holy grail, but for my room, that would be overkill, way overkill.
At ADDF. There he is. Got a radio sharing the ride home with you today.
I want to ride, but can I share too? Can you share with me?
I didn't want to jump in and interrupt the amp discussion. I just want to jump in and say thank you for getting that done so quick. Oh, I think so quick is relative term, but understood. And it's the B button on the front. They're programmable. The B one is high-low power. When the red light is on, you've selected low power, and that was 5. And when I was aligning it high, I could only get it down to 20, but then when I actually buttoned it all up and fired it up and tested it, it was reading 5 and 10. So that was kind of weird. I'm a little scratching my head a little bit about the high power setting, but 5, 5, 5, that's the low power, red light on, B button, et cetera, et cetera. So that's about right for what you want to do. That's about exactly where you want to be. With that, Fred, send it over to Don.
Yeah, it's me, WFSN Mobile. Got to go pick up my parents and head to a funeral viewing thing. It's wet out and cold. Go ahead, Don.
It is. Oh, sorry to hear about the funeral. Good on you for going to get them. Yeah, Dakota, Sean shared with me what the setup was, so that was very good. Glad that you guys are doing that up in that area. I don't get up there ever, but if I am, I'll figure out what the pair is. But glad that that's coming together. Sean?
Roger. Well, I don't think it's any secret or anything, but, geez, it's, you know, instead of having to remember, it'd be easier to just lay it down in the Discord or something like that. But just a snapper pair. All right, I am at my stop here. I got to jump inside and pick up my corn for my pet, for my pets. And I'll be back in a few. Let me get a few. I keep forgetting that I need to post that pair in Discord, but I think, I mean, if we tested it, it was just going to burn my house down because it was at 38 watts. But now I think it's dialed in. I'll have it on the air when I get home, so it'll be ready to go. Footprint, I think, is pretty killer. I tested it with the road, and I got 10 miles on the antenna that it's going to be hooked up to. So extra 4.5 watts is going to make all the difference.
You get a snapper, and you get a snapper. Everybody gets snappers, Don.
Well, cool. Yeah, I'll watch the Discord. I guess I don't get up in that direction very often, but throw it in the memory. So if I'm dialing through in here, I know where it is. That's good. 10 miles of coverage in that area. I imagine you're on some sort of a rise then, between the other hills that are blocking things. Yeah, I'm in a pretty decent spot. I think I'm 980 elevation, and then I got 42-foot vertical up there, so it should be fine. I get into Richmond on 1 watt from my house, which is 18.5 miles, so I've got a feeling this is going to work pretty darn good.
Where are you speaking at?
Elmont.
Okay, now I know where that's at. I won't hit it from here. What snapper pair did you stick with it?
4.5 with a -5.
Alright, I did 4.42125, so.
Okay.
Never that we will ever have any RF issues, but yeah. Alright, done.
Okay, so that's a reverse than some of the others, but all good. Well, I'm going to sign out. I have got to run into one place before I get home, and I'm about there, so we'll catch you guys. Stay warm and dry. It's supposed to be really yucky this weekend, and hopefully after that, it's less yucky. We'll catch you next time. Dakota, see you.
Good talking to you, Don. It's been a minute. Have a good day. Stay warm, stay dry. And yeah, Fred, I don't think you're pretty damn north of me. I'd be blown away if we had RF issues.
Yeah, northwest, and I'm on the other side of the hill, so. My little snapper's not going to interfere with your little snapper. But, oh, I know I was going to notice one day, or I was going to mention one day when I heard you. The Book of Faith suggested we know somebody in common, a Mr. Anderson.
Audio Century Anderson?
Yes, Mr. Scott.
I go way back with Scott to about 10 years ago. Although I got a bone to pick with him next time you see him. Tell him I'm pretty upset with him.
Oh, well, I might see him here shortly at the funeral home, so yeah. But, yeah, I talked to him Monday.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I like working with Scott. I'm not actually upset with him. I kind of prefaced the last time I called him out that, you know, this is probably not going to go anywhere. But, he never gave me my quote. But, rightly so. I knew it was going to be a dead end, but he was kind enough to entertain me.
I just go around him and I do it myself, but that's just me.
Well, that's what ended up happening. I ended up teaching myself door access controls from 2004 and rewiring and reconfiguring a database and keeping it alive.
a Passpoint system by chance?
It is a DSX system. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but at first it's god-awful, and then, you know, you nuke it and start over, and then you're like, all right, I kind of get it now that I built it from scratch.
I still got one Passpoint system going in one building, so, yeah. I figured, because, you know, they love the audio, loves the Ademcos, and, or the Honeywells, excuse me. So I figured that's where, wonder if that vintage United States 2004, because that was my Passpoint vintage.
That wasn't a route I thought I'd ever end up going down, but it's still working, it's alive. Don't have to swap it yet, but that was, what I called them out for. I don't want to fight to get rid of all of it. And you're like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, when I bought the house here, you know, almost 3 years ago now, I didn't want to move my Vista 20, so I said, this, and this. So I went and picked it up down at the shop at 13 Mile there. So my father retired there. So I've known them and his dad and all the whole family now for, 35 years?
Oh, yeah, so you guys go even further back. His dad, his father, was it his father-in-law that passed away recently? Not recently, but within the last 5 years?
His dad did.
Okay, it was his dad. All right. Tell Scott I said hi. Missed that dude.
Yeah, one of our, it would have been, Marv passed, so he called me Monday, and so I had to call my dad and tell him and all that, so I'm headed there to pick my dad up, my mom up, and we're going to take him down to the viewing, down there, so he's going to be, I'm sure he'll be there, I just don't know what time, if he was going to come after work or what, but the other day, Facebook suggests people, and it said, I know that Dakota guy, and it said we had like 4 friends in common, and I'm like, that's Anderson's photo.
It is a very, very small world, especially when you're in the world that we live in.
Nerds and electronics, yeah, you get that.
Yeah, you know, you find people that are good and you kind of just hang on to them, and then people also find those same people, and then you start bumping elbows with them, and you're like, oh yeah, I know that guy, but I guess it's, I don't know if that's good or bad for our industry. There's a whole lot of good.
Yeah, because now we're definitely getting older, so... because they know me as Scott, because the family calls me Scott as well, so they know me as, he knows me as Scott, because that's the side of the thing. So they've always known me as Scott, or Scotty.
Connected to CMN Network.
Your cron job works.
Not a cron job, actually. It is actually using the legit logic inside of AppRepeat to do the tap proper tail message logic. So it's not just firing off a cron job. I did have to do a lot of extra special writing to get it to push the tail message data out the network port, but that is using the actual tail message logic. So it only sends it every 25 minutes and only if the network is active.
Well, that sounds way more fancy than my silent cron job that just every 10 minutes makes sure it's connected to the FBI.
Yep, I didn't want it to, unless the repeater was at, I mean, anybody could, you know, fire a cron job up every half hour or whatever and have it safe. I mean, we've already got, like, top of the, you know, at the top of the hour, at least not on the network side, but top of the hour, you know, the repeaters already say, you know, time, temperature, and good morning or whatever. And then in the tail message, it puts, you know, WCMN repeater Flint or Fenton or whatever. But I wanted the network one to be an actual, not just fire something. There we go, sorry. I wanted it to, the network to follow the actual, or the tail messages on the network side to follow the actual tail message logic. So if the network is idle, you don't hear anything. The network gets traffic, it follows at 25 minutes, but it'll, and if somebody's keyed up, it won't key over them, and, you know, it waits till the network drops for a few seconds before it'll say it, so, yeah, I wanted that logic to follow, but I wanted it to also push it out the network, so it's not, not a standard cron job. It was about five, six hours of working the asterisk to do that one night.
Seen and not heard.
Hear this now.
I gotta stop eating this licorice. Just ask Tom, he'll tell you. Well, I'm not gonna spend that much time to do that, nor would I probably even be able to. I'm not a asterisk guru. I don't even think I've got the time or any of that announcing on this little thing. Turned all my IDs off. It gets old.
Yeah, you're 30 milliwatts.
Well, I don't disagree. It's
no
power.
No
when I'm run, trying to talk and I just go through my stupid no ID. Just, that's how you do it. Make it. You want to be able to have a chance to get in. Going on him.
I was making sure I did not key on 40 people, but
hello, Sean. I think Sean's back now.
That was a triple. Double, if not triple mix.
Yes, hello. I've left the feed store, and I got myself some licorice. I gotta stop eating it, because I'm going to dinner. It's my daughter's birthday. Gotta stop eating this damn licorice. I don't know what the rotation is. Let me see if I got it. Yeah, that gets me every time I go there, Sean. They got it conveniently right at the register.
Feed store, what do you got, chickens now?
I got deer, man. I like to feed my deer.
Big tasty chickens with antlers.
I'd like to see sharks. That happens in the city, so I gotta get them eaten out of my hands so I can just take them with a knife.
I'd like to see you scramble them eggs and eat them.
I didn't get eggs today. Because Michelle didn't have it. We were at Costco last night, and she didn't say anything. So I had a Pop-Tart for breakfast, and I just pulled in and grabbed a bean burrito for lunch. My mom goes, well, I need tacos. You can have a taco when you get here. And I'm like, what type of tacos? Oh, yeah. It's Friday, isn't it?
Why is it up to Michelle? You could have looked in the refrigerator and seen there was no eggs. You're home all day. Yeah, that's what I thought. And then there's silence. Dakota?
Roast fish tacos?
Poor guy.
We were not sitting all over the highway. She kind of realized that as she
got it. Fish tacos are damn good.
Dakota?
This rotation's all cattywampus. I just doubled again. I was going to say, fish tacos are delicious. I don't know if you can make them as good as when you get them out, though.
Sideways taco?
There's a shell site at 17 and Mound. It's just a white pole, white monopole, and then at the top, they've like covered everything with a larger ray dome, if you will. So it's about twice the diameter of the white pole, and it's all white too. So the whole damn thing looks like a Q-tip, a great big Q-tip.
Ah, what are you doing with the golden buttery?
Yeah, I do see them on a model pole. Normally they're on smaller installs or roofs type things. They're not roofs, but smaller portable mast type setups, sorry. And she made a chopping list, Jeff. She went through the fridge to figure all that out. So, yeah.
Why does my portable mast have a gangster lean?
Because the ladies like the mast with the lean.
But is it leaning to the left or to the right? There is a difference, I hear.
I guess it depends on which way you're looking at it.
Right, who's left?
Alright, I made sure I packed my stool for my mother so she can hop up into my truck, because I have to get my mom her little, I have a stool and I keep in the one back here. So I made sure it was in the back so that my mother can step up into the truck here.
One must make sure that their stool is packed. Reminds me of that movie with Denzel and the Training Day, was it?
Ah, yes, the push-in scene in the bathtub. Hey, look at Slack in random, speaking of stool. Look at the little video that I found today in my perusing. In random.
I don't know, Jeff. Guys talk about packing stools and cruising. Jeez, geez. You know we're going to see him in a leather chap and a little leather captain chap.
I am wearing a hat. Michelle shaved my head this morning, or well, before she went to work at noon, so I am wearing my FF hat on right now. My nice, warm FF hat is on.
I've always wanted a Massey Ferguson hat. Just the one with the big MF on the front. Dakota, keep your eye closed. You're up there in corn country.
Oh, I'm sure those are readily available everywhere.
Yeah, they're jamming on 675.
Just dialed it up. Listen to the festivities.
Friday the 13th.
As far as I'm concerned, they can do everything but cuffing and doxing. Any? That's doxing and cuffing is off limits.
But then you're taking away the fun of all their 11-year fun.
Well, like I was saying in the Discord, we have other plans for those locations and antennas and everything anyhow, so they're just making it real easy to take those down and not worry about if they ever go back up.
I like that idea.
I support that motion. Aye. It does sound like the dudes talking right now, though, are pissed and trying to police it. So those guys, you know, first let me just say, they mix it up elsewhere. And the problem is they don't tend to, you know, bring it there. But there's a group of guys that follow them and bring it up there and mess with them all the time.
And the ring leader on the other side, you know, the one that, you know, he says he's not doing it, but it's clearly their side. You know, that's, you know, it's like, and it's like, why are we even doing this? You know, it's like, it's just not worth it. But, yeah, they try to run, you know, properly there, but, I the only thing they're guilty of is just, you know, they just kind of, you know, poke at them a little bit. But they don't do any of the bad stuff. You know, it's the other group just land.
Told you this is the last time I have to wait on driving it down to hopefully make it out. But, yeah, it just seems like there's always shenanigans over there. There's no etiquette.
Wait, we're supposed to have etiquette over here?
Yeah, it's Mount Clemens TMRS. It's the cesspool of radio.
It is a shame, too, because that system was pretty kick-ass for a long time. And then it just turned into what it is now.
$10 Bofang and a $35 license. Literally no skin in the game.
Why do they care? Yeah, that's a good point. You know, there's no brain power to get into it. Just a little bit of money for cost entry. Not like we're over here with, you know, a couple dollars in radios that we would like to use versus the machines being taken off the air.
So you probably just move the digital eventually. It's too bad if it starts to, you know, these cheap bow things are going to, they're going to probably have an effect here too at some point. You know, until they don't. But at that point, we'll probably just shut all the analog down and just go digital where we have at least some more. At least it takes a little more than a couple of functioning brain cells to get working.
I would be in for, you know, DMR in the area, for sure. I don't have any more DMR radios, but that's an easy fix. But yeah, you know, that'll stall for a little bit. You know, that might be the ticket, Sean. DMR is no block. These guys can barely program a Bofang or buying DMRS, you know, HDs. That might be the move.
Crap, I just realized I was on UMP. It does not work well where I was at. Oops.
I'm a mile from him right now. I'll tell him. Tell him his repeater's crap. He needs to get his checkbook back out.
I've been threatening to go look at that thing for some time now, yet I never do. It just works shockingly poor to the south and west. You know, it should work much better. And it works pretty well to the north. You know, I don't know, maybe it's about the antenna. I just don't know. All right, gentlemen, I am pulling onto my street. You will not make it back around to me before I get home. I got to get inside and start figuring out how the rest of the evening is going to go. I got my daughter's birthday tonight, so we got that. Catch everyone later. Be safe. Sorry about your loss, Fred. Tell your pops and mom and dad. Sorry, I don't know who it is, but sounds like you guys and Dakota have this person in common, so sorry all the way around. And we'll catch you guys later. WFU.
Catch you later, Sean. And yep, I'm clear as well. I am turning out of my street, so I'll probably be back out here a little bit, though, once I get this repeater node thing working. That's going to be my priority once I get to the door. All right, at 8 DBF.
Pulling into the UMP's house. W-8.
Holy moly, it's a trash can disaster. There's trash cans all over the street everywhere. Good grief. All right, I'm out. WFU.
My antenna's still in the air. That's all I care about. That ain't BDF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WADPD.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
WDAKLL.
Let me see if I got it here. If you would, can you kindly repeat your call sign? I think it was WDAKLL. Good afternoon. My call is WARAT, and my name is Dave. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Dave. Yeah, you got it right. WDAKLL. Yeah, my name is Greg. Doing well. I'm up off the Flint repeater right now. How about yourself? Afternoon coming home after a long week. Been there, done that. I'm retired now, so every day is a Friday.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Could be better than a spring of Mondays. what's your name? Because I didn't catch your name. And what line of work did you retire from? To simplify what I do, I'll tell you in two words. Alarm installer. So I do, card access and cameras as well, too. So, yeah, we're going down in Tulsa, Ohio. I think it was over towards the West Virginia border. So, boy, it was sure as windy. Kind of gusty winds coming up. Got up about, I don't know, 10 miles from the Iowa border to Michigan. And the winds died down. It was very gusty. Very, very gusty.
Okay, yeah, roger that. It's been pretty windy here right now. It's actually snowing sideways, so it's quite windy. My name is Greg here, anyways, Golf Romeo Echo Golf, and I live up in the Burton area, up near Flint, Roger.
Okay, very good. You done. Yeah, my coworkers were talking about this morning, before we left for work, and it was getting pretty heavy snowfall in northern Michigan. Well, I know there's a lot of people there that are sure you know that. Tourism industry, you know, whether it be skiing or snowmobiling and such. My sister pretty much does it for, all weather, all year round, basically, but off-roading in her Jeep. So I'm going to get out there sometime and let her go a little wild, but probably won't be too bad as her driving on the road.
Yeah, roger that one. All right, my friend, we'll conversation here. I got to quit here, but nice talking with you. W-H-R-A-T with H-T. I'll be clear after you.
Connected to CMN Network.
Won't be too long till I get home and put my feet up. And maybe we'll yak at you later. And, well, I guess it won't be too much longer for the snow, but we're not out of the woods yet. We're still here in Michigan. Anyways, have a great afternoon, Greg. W-A-R-I-T.
NADDF, anyone copy?
I do.
5x9, Dakota.
All
right, cool. Thank you both. Yeah, I had the CPCSS from and the carrier from backwards, or wrong, I should say. So I think I got it now.
All right, there you go. Groovy. Sounds good.
We'll run it. I got each radio sitting on top of a 120-millimeter fan, so I think it should probably cool just fine. Not sure how those settings change, honestly. I literally just unplug stuff to bring you that radio.
Alright, I just sent you an email. Yeah, you gotta watch that little 16 pin, those little connectors, those little pins. They have a habit of pushing out when you reseat the connector. Real common. And so you could have one of those that's just kind of like flaky. But if you said you changed something and it's working.
Alright, I'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully I don't have to mess with it too much anymore. But I'm going to order you a rim light right now, too. I keep forgetting to do that. So I should hopefully have that. What? I'm assuming he's quick. Should have a nice week. Or do you want me to just Venmo you money? What's easier?
I don't care. Whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter to me. If I need one, I can order one, I guess. But I don't really care. Whatever works for you. I do like having one around, though. But it really doesn't matter what way we accomplish that.
All right, that answers my question, and I'm more than happy to replace the equipment that you provided. So I will order one right now, and as soon as I get it, I'll let you know.
Absolutely no rush in that. I got no plans. I've got one for the next deployment. I've got one that's all ready to go. So that was for the next unplanned deployment.
All right, sounds good. I will get you one. I appreciate all your help on this. I think we're finally up and rolling here to where it's usable. I just touched the radio. It's not even warm, so I think we're in good shape here. I'll do some range tests this weekend and next week, and we'll see how it goes. But appreciate you coming back. Appreciate you helping, and enjoy your dinner.
Yeah, that thing was cooking. I couldn't believe how hot that thing was going out. Like, holy smokes, I should have thought of that. Oops. But they're a royal pain to, I probably didn't because they're such a pain in the butt to adjust. But like I said, when the red light's on, it's 5. When it's off, it's either 10 or 20. The software told me 20, but what actually I was reading on the monitor said 10. So I'm saying it's 5 and 10, even though it told me it was set to 20. And when I was doing the testing, when I was in the test mode, it was showing 20. But then when I rebooted the thing and hooked it up, high is 10. So I don't know. Very weird. So it's either 5 and 10 or 5 and 20. 3 dB or 6 dB. Ain't going to make a whole bunch of difference. Go for cool. Holy moly.
Sean, was that bad on your end too, or was it just me?
Down in some sort of weird noise. Are you sure we don't have a flaky pin on that connector?
That wasn't me. That was another station. I wasn't sure if you heard that, too.
Oh, okay. I thought it was you, but the audio was so bad. I thought something happened to your note. Well, somebody keyed up in there, and you sound like Kaka.
Sounds like Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, you were clipping before. I don't know if I made it into Gene's Township or not, but your audio was about 3 times louder than Sean, and you were actually clipping up here, so I'm not sure what was going on there.
Yeah, I'll concur. It's pretty hot. I didn't necessarily notice it was clipping, but it is pretty hot. You could afford to bring it down a notch or two.
So is that transmit level A or B?
You know, that probably A. You know, if you want to know for sure, you know, take A down to 0 and see if you lose audio. If you do, then you can take B to 0. Or if you go to 0 and you still got audio, then leave it at 0 and focus on B. I don't know which one for sure. It's probably A, but like I said, once you figure out which one it is, set the other one to 0 and forget it.
Alright, I adjusted A. Is this better?
I didn't hear a whole lot of change there. Direction. Your signal is, your audio is almost non-existent. There's just a line in there with you. It's terrible. So it's like, one's like extremely, I don't know what happened, Dakota, but you just went from, you know, just a bit, you know, a bit loud, and you need to kick it back to whatever's going on now is just horrible. I can barely understand you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And while we're waiting, Jeff, I don't know what's going on with yours, but yours is terrible too. But you're like way piss willy in the way in the background. I can barely make you out, and there's a whining noise in there with you, and it's just all sorts of horrible. All right, Dakota, before you're not hitting it. Take your receive level down to like 100, take transmit A and transmit B, take them all down to 100, make sure your RX boost is off, come back and let's see where you're at, but set all three to 100, receive level, transmit A, transmit B, and RX boost off, because you're so far out of the ballpark I can't even hear you.
100, do I need to reboot asterisk?
Shouldn't need to. That should be on the fly. You will have to write it before you commit, obviously, and back out of SimpleTune. But you sound better now, but you're not great.
That's weird. This is when everything is set to 100. I'll bring it down further.
Before you do anything else, is RX boost on or off?
No, that's no problem. On, hold on. All right, how about now?
All right, a lot closer. So leave RX boost off. Now, receive level, you know how to do the VU meter thing, set receive level? Talk on that. Make sure it doesn't go over 5. You can let it just hit, and people have a tendency to, like, well, I want to make sure it gets there. No, make sure it rarely, if ever, hits 5.
All right, whatever I did, I turned my receive way down, too, so hold on.
All right, hold on. You're clean there. We may be able to fix it on the transmit side now.
All right, that is with RX voice level set to 50, transmit A and B set to 100, RX boost is off. I do have pre-emphasis and de-emphasis disabled.
All right, bring up RX. What did you say RX was at? 100? Double it. Well, tell me where it was, but if it's like 100, double it. 50, 100, somewhere low like that, double it.
RX is at 50, I'm going to go to 100. All right, this is RX voice level at 100.
All right, all of a sudden, you're really low. I don't know if I had you turned down because of how loud you were. Is there somebody else on frequency can give me a reference?
W8RCY. Dakota sounded better two previous transmissions ago. That's the way I'm hearing them.
All right, let me hear you again, Dakota.
All right,
think I figured it out, at least somewhat. RX is what you hear. Transmit A is what I hear. I don't know what transmit B is, but this is RX at 100.
Yeah, you sound low to me over the network right now. So you can run that one up again. Run that up to 200. But you really, you set that one with the VU meter. You go to setting 2. There's a VU meter. I forget which. Are you running? Well, now wait a minute. I don't know which version of All Star you're running. Do you have the meter set with VU meter?
Yeah, it's set RX voice level using display, but this is at 200. I can go back into it too, and I guess I could just keep it in the meter and see where that lands.
I'd recommend you do it with the meter, and like I said, you know, try to get that bar graph bouncing, up in there. I think the markings are like 2 to 5 or 3 to 5. You want it to bounce in that 2 to 5 range, but not exceed that 5.
Okay, yeah, I can see where it's low. I'm going to bump it to like, I don't know, probably 300. And I think I'll be in this sweet spot, I hope, maybe 350. But I think what was screwing us is I had RX boost on, and I was skewing everything.
Absolutely. That's what RX boost is for. If you can't quite get there, you get up to 999, you can't get there, you can turn on RX boost. But when you turn on RX boost, you got to go way down, then. So that, I'm sure that's what it was. So once you got that, then you can work on transmit level A, so that you can hear it. I'll give you a quick primer on how to get that set to your ear, but let's get the receive level to the network working.
Not sure what happened there, but the transmit just cut out. But I've been tweaking it in between transmissions, so I think I got the transmit audio is pretty good. I don't know. Hopefully I'm coming in clean on the RX side. But that was weird. It just cut out again.
Well, have you checked that pin I told you? Look at the pins on that 16-pin VIF connector. They are notorious for pushing out as you're unplugging and plugging those connectors in. And if the transmit audio pin is pushed out a little bit, that would explain all the symptoms you've been having.
Do I just need to take that harness out, look from the inside, or do I need to look on the backside to make sure those wires are seated?
You can see it looking at the backside. The problem is that connector has like a plastic like deck coming off of one side, so you won't be able to see. You could only see the wire from one side or the other, but you should be able to see one pushed out a little bit pretty easily. You just gotta be looking at it from the angle where you can see the wires going into the connector. One side you can see on the other side you can't. It'll be quite obvious when you look at it. Don't unplug it to look at it because you're trying to see if one of the pins has gotten pushed.
No, they look good. There's 3 pins, and they were all seated in those little plastic housings.
Okay, well, that would just explain the problems you've had up to this point. But let's go ahead and focus on if you're good and you think that you got the receive level set where you want it, you're locked down. One of the problems we could have is we're trying to bat too many things at once. Let's just focus on getting that one not clamped down. And once you've got it, then we can move on to the, real quick, get the transmitter working.
Cool. I'm happy with what it sounds like coming in. I just want to make sure it's clean going out. It was in the meter, so I don't know. It's set to 300. It was between the 3 and 5 kilohertz. So if you say it sounds good, we're going to leave it.
Yeah, I think you're fine there. So, okay, so good. Let's lock that down, 300, make a note, or whatever. Now, on the transmit side, you've determined that it's A, right?
Correct. I've been tweaking it up and down. Actually, I've just been bringing it up because when I brought it down to 100, I could barely hear you. So it's at 700 right now, and I think it sounds good to me. I just don't know. I'm right next to the thing, so I don't know what it sounds like when you're out and about.
Sounds like the 3 emphasis is on. Okay, I'll tell you the cheap and dirty way.
So you'll notice downfield a little bit, there's a turn on transmit keying tones. So you enable that. I think it's, is it E? I'm not 100% sure. But you turn on transmit keying tones. Okay, then what you do is you go into set transmit level A, and then you hit it. You hit a value and hit enter, and then you'll hear it go, you'll hear it put out a solid tone on your transmitter. And you keep, you increase that until the next time you increase it, you don't hear a difference. And then I always back it down, you know, like, you know, from there, just, you know, 50. So I just keep raising it in 50s until I didn't hear an increase, and I back down 50. That's a cheap, dirty way to do it, but that'll get you there.
Toggle transmit test tone is what you said, and that radio cut out again. It does this weird thing where, like, mid-transmit, it'll start whining, and then I'll lose the audio, and then it'll stop whining, and then it works again. So I don't know if that's a thermal throttle or what.
What kind of power supply you got running that? Is it sufficient?
Yeah, I mean, it should be more than enough. It's a 30 amp, and it's only, I'm looking right now, it's at 13.8 volts pulling 4.9 amps on transmit.
All right, it shouldn't be that at all. So, yeah, that's something else we're going to have to troubleshoot and figure out. So there's that's a little bit more involved than we're already a little bit past, you know, what we should be doing on a live system. But that'll be some separate troubleshooting we'll have to do offline or something else.
Yep, and I'll work on the cooling too, see if I can get it a little bit more efficient. But, I mean, it's literally sitting on top of a fan going right into the heat sink. So I'm not sure what else I can do, but I'll experiment. But, yeah, appreciate it. I think we're good for now. I'll keep playing with it this weekend, and I'll get some other people's opinions in the area and adjust accordingly.
Right. Now that you've got the levels kind of locked down, so you have kind of a brightness to your, you know, you might want to try pre-emphasis on, pre-emphasis off, and get some opinions from people which one they like better. You're a little bright right now. Again, it's very clear, very, very good fidelity and all that stuff, but, you know, you might want to toggle that one on and off while you've got some people listening that can give you a critical ear. Nothing to do with these levels, which are critical. You know, this is more like now you get more into, you know, preference.
Does it sound any better or worse now?
Better, better, better.
I thought so.
Yeah,
it's,
I guess the
same
that I like
process.
That it's a little smoother. It's not as harsh. So I'm guessing you turned pre-emphasis off.
I like it. I wouldn't touch anything.
Totally agree, KF8 EFD.
Well, there you go, Dakota. Yeah, yeah. With pre-emphasis, that's kind of a preference thing. And it does depend on the hardware you're using. Some require, some need it to not sound muddy. Some you turn it off so they don't sound bright. You know, I think your sweet spot with that particular setup is going to be off. So I would lock this all down. So right now I think you're pretty close. Before you do anything, make sure you do it right, and before you exit. So you got to write all this before you exit, and then you can come back and play with it later. But get it written right now.
The transmit cut out again, but I caught most of that. So I didn't change anything on the radio, and I've been writing as we've been making these changes, so this should be locked in. The 705 just sounds super, super processed, so I don't know if there's anything I can even adjust on that radio. This is my THD75, and people have made comments before, not necessarily bad, like you said, about my audio over the air with the 705, but I've never said anything which radio I'm on, and I can, people make comments about the audio when I use the 705. I don't know what I sound like on it, but it's, I'm not surprised.
All right, well, several people have chimed in. Everybody seems, the consensus seems to be, and I don't disagree, that it sounds really good right now, as good as it's been. So I think you're good for now. We're going to have to keep an eye. I got to get out the door shortly, so I'm done with this for now. you know, but you're dialed in. We got to figure out why that transmitter is going, dropping. Keep an eye on the heat. I think we got that under control. So if there's something else going on, we're going to have to figure it out. All right, got to run. W8FU.
All right, appreciate it. Enjoy your dinner, and I'll talk to you later. At 8DDF. KTMR at ADW.
Connected to CMN Network.
KTMR at ADW.
This is KTMR. I'm on yours, and it's still getting there. It's still showing that it's transmitting on my end.
I don't get that. I'm looking at the dashboard right now. It's not transmitting. I've got two radios monitoring it. It's not transmitting. I mean, it is right now, obviously, but I don't know why yours would be. What's your sculpt set at?
I think I was set at 3. Let me double check.
I mean, I think that would probably be enough to not sit there open.
Yeah, it quiets down the buzz. It seems like it's getting interference from something.
It's got to be something in your house. I just cranked my volume on my other HD over here, and it's dead silent.
Yeah, let me try stepping outside, because I'm just on that tip handheld right now, and it was doing, and then I turned on the 878, and it's doing it also. So let me see if I step outside, if it's any better.
The other weird thing what is it's worth recording from
Hoyfake over here, WATAP.
It goes away, and then obviously when you key up, it turns red, so it leads me to believe something by you is pissing the radio off.
Yeah, you might be right. You had somebody else come in and doubled with you. I couldn't hear.
Is that other station? You want to come back?
W8EAP.
Going on, Eric.
Can you hear me? My TV switch is doing something weird. You sound perfect over here. I don't know what interference he's talking about, but it's not over here.
So he's local to this node, so we're trying to figure out what he's hearing potentially. You're hearing over the network, so you're not getting any of the RF portion. Phil, are you still hearing that noise?
So the noise kind of stopped, but it's still, for some reason, it's still staying on my radio like it is transmitting.
So at this frequency, I have like a S3 noise. So is that what you're seeing? It looks like you're not getting any audio, but it looks like you're receiving audio.
Yeah, I'm going to send it, I just recorded it, I'm going to text it to you and let you hear what I'm hearing.
Okay, sounds good. I got to figure out why this radio, it's not muted anymore. I can, even with the volume all the way down, I can still hear the transmit.
Did you switch to your 705 or something?
Yeah, I was changing settings on it to see if I can make it not sound like crap.
What radio were you on? And can you switch back to it temporarily?
I was on my Kenwood HT, so this is the Kenwood.
I think the Kenwood sounds a little bit better than the 705. Maybe it's just me.
No, I agree. I think that's the general census there.
So you're on your repeater linked into this. Okay.
Yeah, just a high-profile node trying to get some coverage out here, which I think it's going to work good. It's just going to be some fine-tuning.
Okay, Dakota, I just disconnected from Central Michigan, so you can feel free to let your hair down and play with it. You disconnected up to 2.6 and Richmond and Romeo, so West Bloomfield. So play away. You won't bug them.
All right, I appreciate it. Yeah, I probably should have just disconnected altogether and just worked with Phil, who's in RF range. Quick question. I'm probably an idiot, and I'm missing something, but I can hear the RF and the RF only on the receive radio, even though the volume's turned all the way down.
Yeah, both radios are programmed exactly the same, so they'll both receive the incoming signal, and they'll both transmit the incoming signal, but you're only using one for receive and one for transmit. You're probably not going to hear anybody but you. You're the only one close enough to get through that duplexer chain and get into the receiver. So, even if you turn the volume all the way down, you can't mute it.
Yeah, like I said, it's just the local stuff. So when Phil came on, that's what I noticed. I'm like, wait a minute, why do I hear him echoing?
Yeah, so you're hearing over he'll be on the local receiver, he'll be coming in real time, and over the radio, you'll be hearing him delayed, you know, with whatever latency network delay there is.
Okay, so there's just no way to fully mute these radios.
They may have a what we call public safety volume option where, you know, although that wasn't a public safety grade radio, so I don't know. But there are a lot of radios where there's a jumper that doesn't allow you to take them all the way to zero just because you don't want to accidentally miss something. So you may be able to do that. Of course, if you don't need to hear, you know, you could just disable the speaker, just unplug it. But, yeah, there's probably a jumper. I'll throw a look into it. It's been a long time since I've played with those radios.
Okay, it's not the end of the world. I mean, for the frequency that the RF will be external. You know, I'm just worried because it's in my room, and I don't want to be laying in bed at midnight and hear this thing firing off. But I highly doubt Phil's going to be talking on this at midnight, and if it's as simple as I can just unplug the speaker, then I'll do that.
Probably the simplest way is to say, I can't remember if that has a regular 3.5-millimeter jack on the back. Plug in a 3.5-millimeter jack with nothing connected to it. But I don't know that radio had that. I don't think it did now that I think of it. Never mind. It's a Motorola. What am I thinking?
It's all right. No big deal. I just can't use the 705 on it, which that's nothing new. That's just, I'm so surprised that the audio on that thing sounds that bad. I even was looking up, you know, settings for it and whatnot to see if I could tweak it, but there's not a whole lot of control over the audio. So it's not a big deal. I'll just walk around with my 700R HD that I literally never use, so it's a good excuse.
Can't say I've ever really used mine for that, so I can't relate, but I would like to verify that on mine. I'm going to try my 705. I don't think I've ever used it. Should be able to get that sounding good. I don't know. Anywho, I'm curious about what this thing's going on with Phil and hearing it. So, you know, is it he's just not able to hear it or something else I'm missing? But anywho, that's curious. All right, I'm at the ATM here. Got to get some. Oh, I'm next in line. I guess I'm not out.
So I can hear you guys, and you come in crystal clear when there's voice. When you guys stop talking, I get a horrible, like, buzzing, humming, interference noise, and the radio still shows that it's, like, almost like the repeater is still transmitting.
Sounds like you've got something on, you know, some sort of interference on that frequency at your location. And, you know, the repeater is, you know, covering it up, but when there's no repeater, you're hearing it. So that's interesting. You got anything with a, like a charger really nearby the radio?
No, I even walked outside, walked down the driveway. I made sure I went. I had the All-Star note on earlier, so I turned all that off. My other base units, they're all off, and it's still coming through.
Sean must be at the ATF. I'm trying to think, though, like what that could be. If you, I'm trying to think. Do you have any radios with a scope?
Does that 150 have somewhat of a scope on it?
Yeah, I think it's super rudimentary, though. I think the 710 weight, it won't, I think it'll receive down there, or, yeah, I think it'll receive. Hold on.
All right. Through the ATM. My ATM's passing out 50s now. Screws me up a little bit, but damn it.
We're just noodling what's going on over there at Phil's. Phil, maybe one day, this, or if you're around this weekend, I can run over with my 705 and a whip on it. Just look at the scope.
Well, hold up. Phil, can you do this? Can you roll the VFO on that radio? Can you, like, check, like, 525 or 475 and see if you've got whatever that is, either side of it?
Yeah, stand by. It's just, I'm just on an HT right now. Give me a second. I'll tune to it.
Dakota, what's the air miles between you two?
Probably like one.
Oh, good grief. He's right in the hood. So I'm just curious. Well, next one will be Wyatt. We'll see if Wyatt can hear you.
So I went to 525, and then I went to 475, and it was quiet.
You got something right there on, you got something right there on 500. Ah. So, well, I think channel 2 on both those radios is, I'm trying to think, you know, the duplexer tuning, if it would be broad enough. I'm going to have to, because channel 2 on that is close, but may not be close enough. All right, I got to jump out again. Be right back in a bit. W8FU.
Dakota, if you're still there, I just sent you a couple of videos of what it's doing. It's kind of spontaneous, sporadic now. Like, one time it might be quiet, and almost like when the radio used to cut out. And then sometimes it's static, and the buzz is back.
That noise sounds like when I turn on my closet light, which is like a LED wafer that I can change the colors on. You got any LED lights around you?
Yeah, there's probably a few around here. I was in Tyler's room, and he's got some of those light strips. They're not on, but they're in there.
Well, if they're not on, I don't think that would be the case then.
The rest of the house, I got some of those Philips Hue bulbs. That could be causing it, I guess.
I would be really curious if you turned off the lights if it stopped.
So the weird thing is, it was not doing this when you first got it up and running. I didn't hear any of this. and other than, you know, it cutting out or shutting down, it was clear. And now, like I said, I just walked in the house a little bit ago, turned it on the handheld, and heard it, but we'll see after this transmission. I just shut off the lights.
At ADBF, that's weird. I don't think anything has really changed that would affect that. Still the same antenna, same location, same radios, same ASL programming, which I don't think the ASL side would have anything to do with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I got all the lights off. The only thing that's on in the house right now is the TV. Turned the squelch all the way up. That didn't really help. So, I'm not sure. K8TMR.
Yeah, that one's got me confused too. I mean, for it to be that loud with the squelch all the way up, you have to be right on top of it.
So, I'm gonna. Do you have a minute, or do you got to get going?
No, I'm hanging out. The only thing I'm gonna do is I'll take this off the air in a little bit and just disconnect the receive radio speaker because it's echoing on local RF. Sean's back too. Go ahead, Sean.
So it sounds to me like when the repeater's coming in, there's no problem with whatever this noise is. So just lock up in call guard. Just turn on PL on your receive, and then you won't have to hear it. I mean, you'll see it on your display, but who cares? You'll hear the repeater, and you won't hear nothing else. That'd be the quick and dirty way to solve it. It doesn't get rid of it, but since it's not a problem covering up the repeater, that'll solve it for you.
Okay, so you said just put the PL on receive. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, set the receive PL to 123, and that'll solve your problem. Then you can worry about finding the source of the interference later.
All right, sounds good. I will do that.
Well, Dakota, it's been running pretty nonstop for a while. What's the Fahrenheit fortune?
I mean, it definitely gets warm. It is not an efficient cooling radio, but I think it's okay. I was doing some reading because it did cut out. I don't think you're gonna I don't think you're gonna hear it. It's almost like the PA is what cuts out. I don't know. I don't know radios well enough, but on our side, like Phil and I can hear it whine. Well, I can hear it whine because I'm sitting next to it, but then Phil hears it just drop. And then it comes right back. But it sounds like when we're talking or he's talking, I noticed when I couldn't hear Phil anymore, but I could hear him on the local RF, you didn't miss anything over the network. So it seems like it's just the RF transmit that we're losing when it gets, I don't know if it's too hot. Google was saying that it could have bad capacitors. I don't know. There's a variety of things. Another thing was the transmit audio could have been too hot. I did have it set to 700. It was doing it at 500 before. Nope, it just cut out again. So I don't know if you're hearing me or not. You have to let me know. But it seems like extended transmit is when it gets to the point where it just drops out.
Yeah, no problem. No problem here. We're hearing you. And so that means you've got receive, COR, all that stuff. So you're on your receive side, you're fine. So something's happening on the transmit side. I doubt it's coming from the fob. So it's something in the radio probably. That's interesting. I didn't bench it, so good grief. Maybe we just got to keep our eyes peeled for a couple of CDMs and just switch you over to CDMs and stop messing with it. Well, and you don't even really need two. You can start with just one. You get one CDM for the transmitter. You can work on getting a CDM for the receiver later.
So I have one. Anthony gave me one. It's in the garage, but it's a VHF radio.
Well, unless you want to switch to a crossband repeater, and then a person with a dual bander could program it, transmit on one and receive on the other. You wouldn't need a duplexer. You'd need a diplexer.
you know, just your typical diplexer that you use for, you know, running two antennas to one radio or one radio to a dual band antenna, or one dual band antenna to two ports, you know, just a whole lot, you know, you could do that. It's not kind of really, you know, a bona fide repeater that we're used to, but it's the same thing. It's just you're splitting the, you know, you're splitting the RF cross bands. Same programming cable. So, anyhow, it's worth considering, but there'll be a UHF CDM pop-up, I'm sure. They're not that hard to find, and they're not that expensive, but just don't go do anything, you know, crazy or anything like that. Just let's play with this. This is a little frustrating. We're going to figure out why that's, you know, we can just switch the radios, right? We could just, the problem is that I didn't set the power on the receive one, so you're going to have the power heat issue on the receive one. But, you know, if we think it's the radio, you just swap them and see if the problem follows the transmitter.
Phil, quit hunting. I just walked on the other part of my house on the HT and I heard the noise. So it's something in the area. And that's a good idea too, Sean. I could do that. See, I need to suck it up and just get a programming cable. Or I just need to go on eBay and track down some CDMs or something. I think it'll serve its purpose. It's the frequency it does it isn't too bad. It's like, and it really only seems to be a long-winded transmit is when it happens.
So that's funny you tell me to stop hunting. I just went to the end of the driveway and the noise is gone now. So, but if you're getting it over there, it must be just something around here. So, but I will. I'm gonna change that receive. Put the PL on there and be good for now. But I gotta jump out for a little, so I will talk to you guys later. K8PMR.
All right, we'll see you, Phil. Good luck. And, we'll get this all worked out.
Yeah, I mean it's not conventional and it's a new environment and everything. We'll get it ironed out. I mean it's already working pretty damn good as far as I'm concerned. If that's the only issue we got to contend with is the transmit radio is a little tired, then, I mean, I'm pretty sure we can overcome that. Like you said, we just got to swap the radios, which is an easy fix.
Yeah, so what has to happen is you need the software and the programming cable, and then there's a service. It's they're a little tricky to work with, but there's a service menu you go into, and then you gotta set the power there, and you gotta set an arbitrary number and then check it, and then set an arbitrary number and check it, and then you say, well, the first arbitrary number was too high, and the second was too low, so you pick something in between. You know, it's almost like, you know, guessing high and low to zoom in to get where you want it. So it's not, you know, it's not like you can keep the thing up and keep tapping the adjustment until you get it where you want it. You gotta kind of like, yeah, and there's a lag time when you come in and out of that setting mode. So it's annoying as hell, but with the programming cable and the software, you can get that thing dialed into the power you want. Of course, you're going to have a, you know, a watt meter and a, you know, preferably a load, but you could do it with your antenna. But we got to get that power down. The other option is if you want to play with it all the weekend, this will tell you see how it works with the caveat that the transmitter cuts out occasionally. And then you could give me the receive radio come Monday, you know, and then we do the same damn thing we did today.
I think it's definitely a heat thing. I lost you after you said you picked something in between.
All right, yeah, we're just pulling up at the restaurant, so I'll make this my last. So anyhow, we'll get it. Catch you later, W8FU.
All right, sounds good, man. Have a good dinner. Tell your daughter said happy birthday, N8DDF.
She's right here. She said, don't tell me what to do. All right, jumping out, W8FU.
WAEAP at ADDF. KTMR at ADDF.
Okay, I'm back. KTMR.
Do I sound any better or worse on this 705 now?
You don't sound bad to me. I switched radios. I'm on a little base now with an external speaker, but I mean, it doesn't sound bad to me at all.
All right, I backed the mic gain down. I had it, I don't know why it was so high, but I backed it down, so hopefully it doesn't sound so synthetic.
No, I'm not getting that. I think it sounds like there's less bass to it from the picture on your Kenwood earlier.
All right, that's a step in the right direction. Does it sound any better or worse?
Go again.
There's not a whole lot of audio settings on this radio, but there is a FM transmit bass and treble equalizer that by default was 0-0, so I just plus 4'd the bass, and it only goes up to 5.
Yeah, it's more comparable to the Kenwood now.
All right, cool. Yeah, I don't know. I've had multiple people say when I'm on this radio, it just sounds different. Not necessarily bad, but different.
Yeah, it sounds pretty similar now. I mean, you might even be able to knock the bass down like one notch maybe, but it sounds better than it did.
All right, before you said that, I went up one more. Check your antenna connection on that radio. It's doing that crackling again.
You want to try something, Dakota? Try turning your microphone like 90 degrees so you're like, you know how normally you're talking into the microphone? Try turning it and then put it to the side of your mouth. See if that helps.
That's what I was wondering, too, if it's just this dinky little mic that comes with the radio.
It might, I think it might be. Because I have that USB, you know, the really expensive, like, one that works on the 52 and on the 705, and that thing actually makes it sound pretty good as well, but it's a very hot mic, like, you gotta keep it away from your mouth, but, it's just something about the ICOM radio that, you know, I like on D-Star, on the 705 D-Star, it doesn't sound as good as, like, the Kenwood or the 50, you know, you got the 51, I think, 52.
All right, is this any better?
I have the ID50, which that reminds me, I got to pull that out and program it, thank you. And Phil, go again. That one wasn't long enough. I think I might have heard a little bit of crackle. What did we ultimately determine it was last time? It was a loose connection?
Yeah, I don't remember. I know my antenna connector was a little loose, but if it's still doing it, I think it might be something different.
Dave, are you hearing that, or is it just me?
Yeah, I'm hearing it. It might be the microphone connection. Maybe the wire. Are you on a hand mic?
Yeah, I'm just on a. I think it's a. What is that again? Anytone 778. Just a little cheap thing, but I'm holding the mic connection in now. Is this any better? Are you guys still hearing it?
Oh, you know what? I remember reading about that because it's an RJ45 connector for the mic. I wonder if you need to clean those connections.
Maybe. Is it still doing it? Because it feels loose to me.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything. That one.
Yeah, I second that. I didn't hear anything the last two.
Okay, I think I figured it out then. I think my connection's loose. And every time it's far away from where, not far away, but when I'm pulling on the mic to get it up to my face, it's stretching out the cable, pulling the connector out a little.
Were you not holding it in that last transmission?
Yeah, why was I still doing it?
Unfortunately, yeah. If you were holding it in, it was still doing it. If you let go, then that makes sense.
Alright, one more test on this. I'm pushing it in. It's not moving at all. Do you still have that noise?
Yep, it's still there. Do you have a BNC adapter?
Like BNC to what?
Like BNC to like your coax, so you could hook up the 878 to test.
Oh, yeah, to see if it's in the coax or the antenna, you mean?
Yeah, basically determine if you need to do the old Amazon switcheroo.
Yeah, I'll have to switch it out. On another note, since we're testing things, how does this sound? This is actually the All-Star note. So I was messing around with the audio on that a while ago. Not sure if I got it right or not.
AB, I mean, I think that sounds fantastic, Dave.
Yep, sounds good. I mean, the only other thing I can think about with your, it's windy outside. Is the antenna outside? Maybe it's just like the wind's like knocking it back and forth for the signal.
Yeah, it is outside, and it's whipping around. Not a ton, but it's moving around a decent amount. I wonder if the last time this was going on, it was doing the same thing. And, Dave, I'm sorry, what was your call sign again?
KF8S, Kilo Foxtrot 8 Sierra.
Okay, copy, thank you. So this is the note, so I guess I got that dialed in, but I'm going to have to run around. I'll have to jump on later, and when I get the, hook up the BNC adapter to the 878.
Yeah, I mean, the note sounds good. I think you might just have some shot connections on that little thing.
All right, well, as long as the note's sounding good, that's one positive. I guess the other bright side, wasn't I just telling you the other day I was looking, wanted to get a new radio? So maybe this is my excuse to maybe get that 20, what did you say, it was a 2730?
Yep, I just pulled it out to program it. It's kind of a pain, though, because it's in the damn bag and they got to plug in. Here's the caveat for that radio. It doesn't have micro SD card programming, and you have to use a specific serial cable that is a 3.5mm jack to USB. And it plugs in the back of the radio.
Well, now there's that, and then it didn't come with any of the mounts or anything. You got any other ones on your list that are decent? Like I said, I don't want to spend a ton. It's in the basement as a makeshift base station, so chances of me using it a ton are slim, but when I'm sitting down here, it's nice to turn that on instead of using the note or, the handheld or whatever.
My honest opinion, you should buy something you can put in a bag to make a little kit, and then all you got to do is hook up an antenna, whether it be a mag mount or your base station antenna, or you take it camping, whatever you want to do.
It seems like if I remember, that's what got us into all this a while back. Didn't you do that with the 778, and then you upgraded to the 2730, and then I was talking about it, printed the rails for this thing, but yeah, you're probably right, though.
It was most definitely my gateway. I started with that little radio for a proof of concept, and it worked so good that I wanted to do it, you know, to a higher degree, and I use this radio as much, if not more, than the 150 in my truck, and I don't really have any complaints. My biggest issue I have is the antenna, because it's a little 16-inch mag mount. I think that plays a factor when I'm far out, but now that's going to be a non-issue because we got this lovely little thing. So, you know, the Armalocs aren't cheap. That's the downside. But don't forget, I got those not generic, but universal fit aluminum rails from Portable Zero that can go on a plethora of different mobiles.
Oh, I didn't know you still have those. I thought you ended up getting rid of them. Obviously not if you still have them.
Nope, they're sitting in the drawer. I just saw them.
I just grabbed that 878, so I'm looking for the adapters now. Might be able to get it going pretty quick.
If you don't have any, swing by. I got a whole bunch next time you're out. And sorry, Dave, I'm not trying to cut you out.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm just mostly listening. I'm trying to think what radio I don't even know what radio I'd buy today. There's so many options. We always like to say about that 20G, but you've got the other one, the 778, which is similar to the 20G. So you wouldn't be you probably just need to clean those contacts. You'd be fine. But the other thing you could probably try doing, if you've got one of those like little junction adapters, you might be able to use like an RJ45 cable and then a junction, and then see if maybe that fixes it. But I don't know. Maybe it's probably just dirty contacts. You probably just need to get some a Q-tip and alcohol wipes, and then maybe that'll fix it.
Yeah, I'll give it a try. I thought we had it fixed last time I was having the issue, but obviously not. And then I think you said the 20G. A guy at work just bought that, and I like the look and feel of the Anytone better than that. You know, for a cheap end radio. But hopefully, it's just not a big deal. Just need some cleaning and digging through my stuff now, looking for the PNC adapter to see if I can hook up the handheld to the coax and the roof antenna to see if it'll rule that out. Then the next step will be I'll clean the contacts and go from there.
Yeah, Dakota, you and him should, you guys should try going simplex, see if it's just something coming in through your receive. Just to rule it out.
Well, the last time we were testing it, there was no repeater.
I do the Amazon swap. It's funny.
Yeah, that's looking like it might be the best route. Actually, on that radio, when you were hearing the noise, I wasn't on your repeater, Dakota, if that's still up. I was, I'm going straight to Richmond.
All right, well, that makes me feel a little bit better, but hopefully we can figure out what the hell's going on.
You Are you doing a Starlink? Is that your internet now?
Are you asking Phil or me?
You.
Starlink is my failover. I'm on Spectrum primary just because it's gigabit.
Yeah, I just wondered if maybe that had something to do with it. I don't think it does, though, because otherwise we wouldn't be talking. But, yeah, if you're on fiber, then you're on fiber. Do they give you a static IP address, or do you have to be behind carrier grade NAT as well?
They didn't give me a static, but I have not had my IP changed in, like, a year.
Yeah, I'm behind firewall, carrier grade NAT, and I have to do tricks with tail scale to get around it. But I've been reading that you can call AT&T possibly and tell them, can you put me on your non-carrier grade NAT, and they might do that, or I think you can purchase an IP block, but they want to charge you like $15 a month, $15 to $30 a month, and I'm not going to do that, but it would be nice. And the other thing, too, is if you're, IPv6, I have IPv6, and then that one's not behind a NAT, but not everybody has IPv6, so that's not going to do any good.
Hey, I'm going to try to disconnect this one, hook this up real quick, so I'll be out for a minute. I'll jump back on in a couple minutes.
We will be here. I don't know, Dave, what Spectrum has. They're pretty low-tech. Like, I literally just have their modem, and that's all it is a modem. So I'm assuming and hoping that I'm not behind their NAT. And based on how my gateway is set up, I don't really see any issues, so I haven't had troubleshooting, let's put it that way.
Okay, yeah, if your IP doesn't change, you'll stay on the, you'll stay on the FBI network. If it does change, then it might drop you, but it sounds like it stays on, so I don't think you have to worry.
And I don't know what that would look like either, because when Spectrum goes down, my IP does change. It fails over to Starlink.
It'll just take 5 minutes. You'll register with your new IP, and then it'll take 5 minutes, and you'll link back up.
Is that how ASL works? Because the failover is, like, instantaneous. Like, I won't even buffer when I'm watching TV.
Yeah, so if you weren't authenticated through IP address with AllStar, like if AllStar would get into the 21st century and not authenticate through IP addresses, you would fail over right away because it would be some kind of secure connection or whatever. But the way they do it is you're registered with the AllStar server, the directory server, with whatever IP address you're using. You still have a node password and all that stuff, but you register with AllStar. AllStar accepts your registration. Then it records your IP address, and then it's got to propagate to everybody's node. So everybody's node's got to call home, get the new IP address, and then they will accept your node as being from that IP address as being allowed. If your IP address stays the old way, to the old one, to some, they'll just keep on. Say, I don't know this. This is an unknown IP address, right? So, but after about 5 minutes, the reason why I say 5 minutes, after about 5 minutes, it gets propagated to everybody. And then you are accepted in the AllStar network. Now, they've done things to make it go faster. Like, they've introduced, like, a DNS lookup, which works a lot faster, but it doesn't always work. So that's why I always say 5 minutes. Like, when I'm in the car, I give you an example. When I'm in the car, if I'm using my M1KE, if my IP address changes, I go to a different cell tower, I can't connect any AllStar nodes for 5 minutes.
Dave, I lost half of that because the radio cut out again. Damn thing. I think it's on its last leg.
Or Phil there. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay, I got the 878 hooked up to my coax and outdoor antenna. Do you still hear the cracking in this, or is it better?
I still heard some crackling, Dave.
Yeah, I concur. I hear the crackling.
So I wonder if possibly I got some moisture in the coax. Is it a possibility what you're thinking it could be?
Either that or a loose connection somewhere. I would check your connections and see if it goes away. It's hard to do that with the rain, but it's probably just you probably just need to unscrew the connection and screw them back in at the antenna. And just check your connection. I don't know. What do you think, Dakota?
Yeah, it still sounds like a loose connection to me. It doesn't. I mean, it could be moisture, but it sounds like something's just loose.
All right. Well, at least I narrowed it down. So I got everything tight at the radio. So the only other connection, No, I don't have it hooked on that one. So the only other connection would be up to the antenna, so which I got that all wrapped for moisture, so maybe it's just loose. So I'll have to give that a climb up there and see if I can tighten it up when the wind dies down a little.
You mean you don't want to go up there in these gusts?
Nah, not really. not worth it yet. But I don't know. I don't know when we're supposed to get some nice weather. Doesn't seem like we got that, you know, March teaser, and now it's back to winter.
Yeah, I wanted to fly my kite. I was going to hook a Meshtastic note up to it, but decided not to. It's like, oh, the wind's great.
I know, I've been wanting to get back on and adjust my antenna or mower or whatever I got to do to get it straightened out. It's just no opportunities have presented themselves.
You guys doubled Dakota 1. Go ahead, Phil. Try that again.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, I'm surprised Dakota hasn't put a Meshtastic node on his drone yet and flew it up.
I'll put a dinky Helitech in my RC plane and fly it around.
You mean the one that's flying in your basement?
You got a plane now? Is that new, or... just have it mixed in with all the drone stuff.
I had a little UMX Turbo Timber Evolution, which is like, I don't know, an 18-inch wingspan, and had no idea what I was doing when I was setting it up. I did buy I bought a bind and fly, not a ready to fly, so I had to program my own transmitter, which is a drone transmitter. I've only programmed drones and helicopters, so that was the whole thing. I destroyed it, long story short. So I finally mustered up the stupidity to buy another one, and this time I bought one that's 52 inches of wingspan, much bigger, but it's supposed to be a much better plane to learn on. So I'm going to try to master that, and then I ordered an FPV wing, which is basically a plane with no landing gear that does about 150 miles an hour, and it's got an FPV camera on the nose.
Are you going to fly it at Wetzel?
Go ahead, Dakota. I'm trying to put this back together right now.
My bad, I didn't catch that. I was talking to my daughter. What'd you say?
Oh, I was just telling you, go ahead and answer Dave. I'm trying to put this stuff all back together.
What'd you ask me, Dave? I'm sorry. I was, like I said, I was talking to my daughter. I didn't hear anything.
So I was asking, I'll try one more time. You go to fly it at Wetzel.
Do I or am I?
I guess both, but are you going to fly it at Wetzel?
Probably not, just because it's so far away and I can fly it at my house. I mean, I have 55 acres next door to me that's just open fields. And then I have, you know, my property that I can fly on. So probably not, but that's not to say, because there is an AMA over there. So if I do start to enjoy this and maybe get a little more into it, I'm sure I'll end up at Wetzel at some point.
I guess my old neighbor, where I used to live, he used to fly planes there. Like, I'd known him for like 20 years, and I never knew he was in the RC. He just saw me putting up antennas, and he's like, about ham radio. I was like, oh, there's some ham radio guys that go to the, they fly airplanes or whatever.
So I don't fully understand what bands it is. Wait, hams have a portion of 5.8, don't we?
KFAS. Yep. I believe so. I know we have 2.4, so I think we do have 5.8 privileges, but I always thought the plane flew on 2.4.
So it depends on the protocol. The reason I ask is a lot of the FPV stuff I have says requires ham license, which obviously no one listens to. But I thought it was kind of cool that my ham license gets me some additional privileges that keep me by the book.
Yeah, technician is everything above 50 megahertz, so you got that, obviously, and then general down below. But, yep. All you need is a tech, I think. But I think that's just for the extra power. There's if you're under a certain power limit, I don't think you need a ham license. I think it was only for the 50 megahertz stuff. You know, does that stuff fly on 50?
No, so it's actually for the VPXs on the FPV stuff, because like some of them go up to 1,000 milliwatts, maybe 1,500 milliwatts, you know, crazy power, right? But a lot of these manuals and products will say, you know, requires ham license. I'm sure it's just as a CYA liability deal that they say, you know, you got to have a ham license to transmit at high power, blah, blah, blah. No one listens to that. They all transmit on high power anyway. But, yeah, 5.8 is the video feed, and then majority of my stuff I fly is ELRS, and that's 2.4. But they do have a 900, but no one uses it.
There you go. Yeah, nobody's going to complain unless you are interfering, usually. They used to have more FCC regulation around here, but they, they got rid of it. There's volunteer monitors now, but I mean, who's really, and you got to be really bored to be monitoring all these frequencies.
I did see a video pop up the other day, and on my YouTube recommendations, that the FAA was cracking down on drone pilots, and they were getting fines and whatnot because they're requiring all this remote ID BS, so they got to broadcast, you know, where the pilot took off from, the pilot's name, the pilot's home address. Like, I get it to an extent, but some of this hobby equipment is just not a threat. Like, the plane I'm flying is, the wing I'm flying is 650 grams with the battery in it, and then the plane is like, I don't know, maybe 2 pounds, 3 pounds.
Yeah, a lot of time the regulations are for if you're being like a, you know, they'll come after you if you're doing something else, and then they'll tack that on to it. They probably wouldn't go after you that. Well, I mean, unless you're flying near a military base, then they're not going to be happy about that if you're stupid enough to do that.
KATMR.
Yeah, I mean, if you fly near a military base, you kind of deserve what's coming to you. Go ahead, Phil.
All right, sorry to interrupt. I got everything back together. Last test on this thing. Is the noise still there? If it is, I'm giving up for tonight on this.
I couldn't really tell. I think you're okay.
Yeah, I didn't really hear anything on that either.
Okay, so weird then. So I put everything back together, tightened the antenna connection down, made sure that was good and tight, took the mic off, cleaned the contacts with some rubbing alcohol, put it back together, and this is what I got.
Yeah, I would just give up for tonight. I did hear it again, unfortunately. I don't want to give you bad news, but sorry.
NADVF, yeah, I was going to say it crept back in.
Okay, I'm done with this radio for tonight. The next step, I'll get up on the roof and check that connection. Hopefully that's it.
Yeah, the longer it takes to find, the simpler the solution. That's what I always say.
Or sometimes you never find the solution and it just goes away on its own. Remember when I had a hum on my clear node?
Yeah, I got nothing but hums and crackles and I'm not doing too good today. But at least if this is sounding good, this is the node, so I'll stick with this for the rest of the night.
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, we have to accept a little bit of imperfection when we're on FM and analog. We're going to hear the imperfections in there, and we have to accept, you know, everybody's got to accept a little bit of that. You know, the caveat, you know, you can go the other way around. You could do digital, like DMR or Fusion or whatever. That it doesn't fix your problem. It just makes it, like, hide a little bit. But then we got to deal with everybody sounding like robots and There's pros and cons to everything, but I don't know. I can live with a little bit of background noise. It's not a big deal.
Nope. I don't know if we lost Dakota, but yeah. No, I get it. I'm just if something's wrong, I'd rather catch it now, and you know, I don't want to screw anything up any worse. So if it is a loose connection, you know, at least if I can get all this stuff, checked off the list, the simple stuff, and then kind of go from there. And it kind of is what it is.
No, I'm still here. I was just sitting here staring. I programmed a bunch of radios, and I'm debating if I want to do the three that are in the safe, which are not fun to program. Two of them are old Yaesus that you got to do, like, a key press combination and plug in these special freaking cables. And then same with the ICOM HD I have in there, that you have to unscrew the mic jack and do all that. I'll probably never use them, but my OCD is going to drive me nuts if I don't put this in there.
Yeah, I had to let that go. I had the same thing. I was like, I want to program this radio. I usually, the philosophy I do is like, when I go to use it, then I'll program it at that time, or I'll just, if you can front panel program it better and stuff like that. I had a thought, I can't remember what it was, though. Something about what you just said, Phil, but I can't remember now. Back to you.
Well, if you're in the mood to program radios, I can drop this 878 back off to you. No, I think I'm getting it a little. Getting the hang of it a little bit, so I just got to play around. I'm getting that, I ordered that hotspot, so I got to solder the pins on tomorrow and get that together, and then hopefully play with it some more, see if it's working.
I know, I almost feel like I should just give you my code plug and you can go from there.
You know what? I was just thinking. You know the Michigan ARPSC? M-I-A-R-P-S-C? Their website? You gotta look that up. I don't remember what it is. But I think they have code plugs on there, and Anytone might be one of them. So you might want to grab that, because they've got all the things programmed, or all the things worked out for you, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely check that out. I know what you're talking about. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'll look it up. I got all the analog stuff programmed in it, and that wasn't too big a deal, but I've never done DMR or anything digital, so this was a learning curve, but I managed to, after, you know, hours of YouTube videos, I got it working. Just need to, you know, get the repeaters that are around here or, you know, in the area in Michigan and go from there. But I'll definitely check out that website then. That would make it 100 times easier.
Leaving some space for Dakota there. But yeah, if you can't get that working, I've got something that you might be able to use. But I believe they have all the MI5 repeaters in there. So I would, yeah, I'd definitely go with that, with theirs. But, you know, with anything, this DMR stuff, though, it's like, just take your time with it. It's kind of like Lego blocks. You start out simple and, you know, add on blocks later, so to speak. And don't try to understand it all at once.
Yeah, and everyone's code plug is a little different of how their brain works and how they want it set it up, too, so that's another part of it.
Yeah, it's not too bad, but, I mean, going from, you know, having zero knowledge of it to, you know, like I told you, I think I texted you earlier, Dakota, that I put the that one repeater, I think it was in Warren, put that in there and just did a one of the Parrot talk groups. And when I was down by Hall Road, I was able to hit that, so at least it was opening up, and I did, you know, for the most part, I did everything right on that, but, you know, that's about as far as I got so far, just kind of playing around with it, but so far, I mean, I like the radio, I like the feel of it and all that, but, and then I started looking into the, APRS, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's a different animal with that thing for APRS. At least they got the repeater working down here for APRS, but I heard there was some challenge. Whoa, somebody outside. Dog scared me. But anyway, there's some challenges with that as well, but I won't go into it right now.
Oh, my God, Phil, I totally forgot. Let me get it back online again. I have an iGate at my house, which I imagine you could beacon into, so you could test your APRS out here and then check APRS.fi to see if it's reporting.
Yeah, don't hit me with more bad news tonight, Dave. I've had enough for tonight. Wait till another day. And then, Dakota, yeah, I was going to ask you, because I checked that APRS.fi yesterday, and I thought you had one. I didn't know, and I didn't see it up there again, but I didn't know if you still had it or not.
I'm going to jump out here, guys. I got to check out what's going on outside. KFA down.
Later, Dave. I'm signing into it right now, Phil, to see if it's still working.
All right. Nice talking to you, Dave. We'll talk to you later on. And, yeah, I haven't even started playing with the APRS on that, so it's, as far as the radio goes, you know, I'm not gonna dabble into that yet. I want to try to get this DMR stuff figured out and get that code plug, you know, at least a little bit built out where I have some in there I can play with, but I ended up I loaded up the SD card today. I forget what it was called, but that program or software you sent me for the hotspot. So I got that all ready. I'm just waiting for the hat to come in tomorrow, and hopefully that should be good. So that'll be able to help, at least, you know, because I had couldn't hit anything. I could barely hit it, you know, down at Hall Road, but, you know, at least I'll be able to program stuff and play and see if I'm doing it right.
I lost you again. Frickin' radio's cutting out. It's got to be thermals. It's the only thing I can think of.
Is it still heating up?
Oh, yeah, and I got 220-millimeter fans blowing at it even. One of them is directly under it, blowing into the bottom part of the heatsink, and another one at the back, blowing into the back part of the heatsink. So it's basically floating on air right now. It's transmitting on 5 watts, and it's just still getting hot, and I think what's happening is that whine is some sort of thermal throttle, or, I mean, I don't really know how radios shut themselves off when they get hot, but it's got to be heat-related because it's only on long continuous transmissions to where if we're going back-to-back or someone's talking for more than, you know, 30 to 60 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. You got me there. I got no knowledge to input on that, but I mean, I think you're right. It seems like it's, you know, a heat thing, and it just, you know, on the other end, at our end, it just sounds like it just drops, you know, and like you said, it just cuts off, and then it comes back on.
Yeah, I mean, worst case scenario, if I got to get a better transmit radio, it's not the end of the world. I mean, I think this will prove itself to be very useful out here, so if I got to spend $150 on a transit radio, oh well.
Yeah, that, I mean, you know, when it's working, it's real nice for out here because there's nothing. I just need to figure out my interference issue. I tried doing that receive PL tone that Sean said. I actually checked, and I did already have that set, so it did make a difference on it. So it's not really when the repeater's keyed up, it's just, you know, when it's off. And like when I text you, you know, the frequency range, it's just in that little bit of frequency range in my house and around here that every handheld gets interference.
Sorry, I was programming my other radio here that needs two hands because it's a freaking song and dance. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird that there's, for one, where we're at, that there's that kind of interference. It's got to be something in the neighborhood, you would think.
Yeah, I don't even know what was, you know, what would do it. Like I said, I didn't go through a ton of stuff because I didn't have, you know, time to check everything out, but kind of walked around with the handheld, and even when I signed off, I was walking around with the handheld, and I just kind of was scrolling through the VFO, and as soon as I got to whatever those frequencies I text you, it was like clear, and then boom, there it was, and you know, it was like just below and just above and all in between.
All right, now it's writing to the radio. I forgot I even had this thing. I've, like, never, ever used it, and I'm going to start now that I got this snazzy little repeater hanging out. But, yeah, I had something like that on my old house. It was random. It was mainly on HF, but, like, random days, it would, the noise for it would be off the charts, and it was like, what is happening in the neighborhood?
Well, yeah, like, last time, when you first got it up and running, I think you heard it too, because we were talking about the hum, and you know, that's kind of the same thing. It's just, it's a lot more today, so I don't know if it's something, you know, with the weather or, you know, something's around here that's interfering for sure, because it's definitely worse today than it was, I don't know, whatever it was a couple weeks ago.
Hopefully it goes away, because I don't hear it, and I'm right, well,
trying to think. You're hearing the RF, and I'm hearing the not. No, I'm hearing the RF too. So yeah, I don't know. It's weird that you hear it and I don't.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it doesn't seem like it has anything to do with the repeater, because when I'm transmitting or you're transmitting or anyone's transmitting, it's clear. It's when it, they stop transmitting and then it kind of shuts it down and then I hear it. It's just like a steady hum on that frequency, whether there's activity or not.
So Direwolf, I think I wiped this pie at some point. Direwolf is like the eye gate, so I'm rebuilding that right now. But yeah, that should be working here a little bit, and you can test.
All right, yeah, no rush. I mean, like I said, I'm still figuring this radio out. But K8TMR. Are you around? You around this weekend? I'm off all weekend, so I'll be around tomorrow. I got a, I'll be gone from like probably 2 to 7. Tyler's got like lacrosse scrimmage. They're just starting, so he's got like 4 scrimmages tomorrow in Brighton. So that'll be a fun drive down there. But after that, I'm home, so I don't think I go back to work. I think like Tuesday, so. I'll be around if you want to play or test some stuff out or chit-chat. But I think I'm going to jump out for now, hang out with the little guy and the wife, and kind of relax the rest of the night. So I'll be K8TMR. I'll be clear after your final.
You cut out at the end there, but I heard you signing. So I'm going to do the same here. I got to get these kids ready for bed and lay low. But yeah, I'm around all weekend, man, so just shoot me a text or I'll have this thing on. I'll try to be monitoring it. If not, just shoot me a text. All right, have a good night. And ATJ.
W8ZD, W8ZD, N8WRO, Richmond. Nothing heard, N8WRO listening.
TF8FQN listening.
KF8FQN, this is KF8FPL, do you copy? KF8FQN, this is KF8FPL. I heard some ka-chunking. I could not tell if it was you or not. If it happens to be you trying to get in, I'm listening. If not, I'm going to clear soon. Hearing none, KF8FPL, clear.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Quebec November, listening.
WACTD.